It's the Tiltcast, episode 170, Greatest American Hero.
Scott's gay!
Anyway, and tonight we're going to be talking about some games we played over the weekend. In the week, I played some Oh My God Zombies, well, some Dark Out, and some other junk. We're going to talk about some Disciples 3 Reincarnation. We're going to talk about some Blacklist by Splinter Cell, and a bunch of other random stuff. So, stay tuned, and get ready for debates, because we do a lot of them.
Yep, that's a big Twinkie.
And welcome back to yet another episode of the Tiltcast. It's Noss, I'm back. I had the plague last week.
I wish we had a pan flute.
I know, right?
And the Titanic theme song.
That, of course, is Trent talking. That's his intro. And across from me is Jason.
What's up, guys?
Rusty.
Hi.
And Earl.
What's up, everybody?
And we got a show this week.
We have a show of more than two people.
Yeah. Yay. Anybody listen to that one?
I don't know.
I didn't.
We have
two guys alone in a room.
I don't know what's going on. I was already asleep halfway through the start of that.
I didn't bother listening to it.
So now that we're all back in the same room together and nobody's dying,
back in the saddles again.
Yeah, because Rusty, you just fell asleep, didn't you?
Long fucking weekend. Really long weekend.
A long weekend of masturbation or what?
No. Shit. Nothing so special.
Yeah, nothing so special.
Second degree burns on his palms.
He's in a speed competition.
Yeah.
One, ding, two, ding, three, ding. Good.
Yeah. We need a soundboard. Do we have like a spit bucket sound when we did that?
Ding. Yeah, the spittoon.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucked up.
Next.
What have you been up to, Rusty?
Jeez.
Oh, not a cash register. I don't know why that's funny.
Rusty once told me every time he opens his mouth, he makes money. I didn't know what that meant. Now I do.
Wow.
That's pretty terrible. You really want to start with me? Because I've got almost a month?
Yeah.
All right. Jesus.
You've been on here in forever.
Oh, God.
People want to hear what you've been doing with your life.
Maybe.
No, not really.
All right, Jason, what's up?
Go for it.
I'm just kidding.
All right. Well, I last time I was here, I was like prepping for that wedding shit. Yeah.
Did you figure that out?
Yeah, I got that shit figured out. Had a much better setup for this one than the other one. I actually got to work with a full on stage and sound system and all that, so it was pretty nice.
It's a little D ponied up, huh?
Yeah, and actually decent soundboards and everything, so we actually got that all taken care of. It was a real big challenge trying to get two jobs done, though.
So how are your best man / DJ?
That was fun. I took all the time to actually set up all the music and shit, how it was supposed to be set, and then I trained said random family member, come press button when I say go. Alright. And I was running around with my head chopped off for the, you know, trying to get everything set up for the ceremony. And then at the beginning of the ceremony, I'm standing up on, you know, up at on the stage basically. So I was nowhere near the controls, and I was putting all of my faith into
said family member.
She did a great job, but, you know, it was the ceremony and then the reception was right afterwards, so I had to be in the pictures. So I couldn't take my setup, which was on a laptop and a bunch of cables, across the street to the hall to set it up. So everybody went from the church to the hall and sat there in silence for 45 minutes while the pictures were being taken.
Were there any kids?
Kids. Of course, there were kids. What?
So you're telling me there were kids in the hall?
What a terrible joke.
That was a bad joke.
No, it wasn't. That was an amazing
show. But referencing a very good show.
It was a very good show.
But it was...
Testicle?
Squishing him. What the hell? All right.
Apparently he wants you to grow. I don't know what that means.
Stop hitting the ball. What was I doing? All right, that was hell because it was just me and Jason and his wife and the bride and groom setting up, and the groom's family. And it was a lot of work, but I'm finally done with that. They're happily married. And yes, yay. Congratulations.
I mean, how happily?
Congratulations.
Really
David
happily.
And Tara Co.
Really happily.
They're very happy. Now that he needs to stop calling me.
Newlywed stage. Yeah.
Right. School is school, so pretty much the same thing there. And then, on top of all the wedding shit that I had to deal with, I had exams the same fucking week, so.
How'd you manage all that?
No sleep. There was a good week where I had 3 hours of sleep a night, maybe, if that. Let's see. Games. I played a little bit of Warframe. I've actually stopped playing that now. I stopped playing it because during all that shit, I lost my seven-day bonus again, and I said, fuck it. I'm done with
over
this shit.
Over a seven-day bonus.
Yes. I said, fuck it. I've
taken a break because of other stuff that's been out, and I think I'm bumming John out because he really wants somebody to play with, but I've just been so busy with everything else.
Yeah. It just seemed like I don't like the bonus thing at all. It just seems like you have to log in to be able to get all of that. And I want to be able to play my games casually. So if I want to pick up the game every once in a while...
I just don't worry about the damn bonus.
I kind of like the bonuses, though. So.
Somebody likes a bonus.
I think we've established that.
Right. Okay. I play a little bit of Civ 5. I just, that's good. The game I go to when I want to relax. If I want to play a game for, like, 10 hours, just to relax, Civ 5 is where it's at. I play the long game, and I play...
Did you play the Gods and Kings expansion?
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. And I've got the perfect religion set up now. For a culture win, perfect religion set up. There's a point where for every 5 followers to your religion, you get 1 culture point. You just spread that over, the 16 different countries on a large map.
Do you, when you play that, you got to do like the whole settings and everything else. Do you do it as like Pangea? Do you do it as like realistic world? Or
I switch it up every once in a while because the continents one does randomize continents, and they do separate them sometimes with oceans and stuff. So that's kind of neat.
Like, I started off with a realistic world, and I was like, this is kind of boring. I need something to not know where I'm at,
Exactly.
It's like once you realize that you're in Mexico, you're in Mexico,
And I don't like Pangea because it's all clumped together. So if you can't really employ naval forces as much. But if you've got, if you set it up in continents, there's possibilities to use naval forces.
Well, and they're good for, like, laying a siege or something like that because, most of the time they can't fire back, or if they can...
Mm-hmm.
It's not that big a deal because you're using a fucking battleship.
Right. Well, I like to... once I get up to that stage, I'll make carriers and take planes, off there instead of having to worry about bases and whatnot. So that's what I've been doing, really.
Played some Dota.
Yeah, well, I did play some Dota the one time that I was able to actually find time on Wednesdays to do that. Last Wednesday, right?
Yeah, it was last Wednesday.
You were about to die.
Yeah, I played Dota with a fever, and I was mostly incoherent.
Huh?
Was it for more cowbell?
No, I have no cowbell.
He started out. He's like, okay, I'm good. Let's play some games. As he was going along, he sounded like he was turning green.
I was just like, fever's kicking in, and it really was. Like, I was to the point where I was almost hallucinating. I was just like, I can't remember what I was doing last. What item was I getting again? It's like, I died again. Fuck, I'm feeding.
I know, you didn't have to worry about feeding. I was pretty close to that.
We had a couple of pretty bad matches, didn't we?
That last match was...
You know what's sad is I played with M the week before,
mm-hmm.
and I believe Ren, and we actually had some really, really good fucking games. And then it just... Of course, I was way too out of it on Wednesday to do it. I didn't want to leave anybody out if anybody was going to be on it, and it ended up just being me and you, so it's
right.
Like, who cares?
Yeah, after you left, I played a game with Legion Commander just to, because I'd never actually used that character before. Pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Get used to that character.
And then you get that one thing where you can just single somebody out for the duel. And if they have less health points, you know you're pretty much going
to
win.
Oh, well, not even that. I mean, it forces them to white attack you. And you get the retaliation attack plus the life gain from the retaliation attack. You can't lose those battles unless somebody else comes up and helps them.
Yeah.
You look so happy.
So that was, it was a pretty fun game. And that was probably, was that the only one that we won that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were playing it by yourself.
By myself.
Heard you're a master.
Master.
Bader.
Uh-huh.
Playing by yourself.
I freaking, wow, that's from
you
the 80s.
Ask Trent. You should have been Trent. Trent's got some exciting games.
What's no, done? I've got a lot of games I played. So.
Are you done?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. That's, yeah, I've been too busy to do anything fun, so.
Yeah, Jones or Jason.
Well, Earl, what have you been up to?
Earl?
A bunch of nothing. Just the family life and taking care
of
the kids.
You should have tried reverse psychology.
I know, right? you know, just basic little things like that. I mean, kids at that young age, you got to be with them all the time. So, you know, just stuff like that, playing stuff on the Wii here and there.
I don't really.
I know you don't. You don't have to. You don't have to when you have little kids.
What do you play on Wii?
Just Wii bowling and stuff like that. The stuff that the little girl likes to play, and now she's into putting bows in people's hairs and stuff. So.
Does she put bows in your hair?
She does. I got a picture on my phone.
Oh.
My hair. She's learned, you know, she's just growing up. So, stuff like that, I mean. Don't get to play much. I've been.
So you were in drag, basically.
I was. I had a bow that her. Even my son has a flower on his head.
Starting young, huh?
I'm telling you. Apparently, hey, if you don't start, I think David Bowie started young.
You know, you got to embrace the fact that if you wanted to get into the drag culture, they have to be grown up in the drag culture to really.
That is
acclimate
true.
To it.
I'm sorry, it was a bow in my beard.
You got to show them how to do pre-op hand.
It was a
bow
in my beard.
Wow.
That's where she put it. Right there.
You look like a waiter at a crawfish restaurant somewhere in Louisiana.
Wait, it's true. So. She was happy about that. So, you know, I just been doing that kind of stuff.
Drinking.
No, I mean, it's just family life, really.
Getting drunk.
Since the boy likes to pull the Xbox out and almost break it, we had to put almost all the Xbox stuff up, so...
Boo.
All we have is the Wii on the back, and that's it. So,
what about Dark Souls?
Oh, what about Dark Souls?
You had to bring it up.
No, I haven't got to play
anything.
I did.
Well, Dark Souls 2 comes out.
I know
in
it does.
2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited about that.
I've already got mine pre-ordered.
I do too.
Yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
Oh yeah,
I'm super fucking excited, man. This next month for us as a cast is gonna be exciting.
Oh, did you pre-order on Xbox or on?
I did an
PC.
Xbox.
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah, because PC is not coming out until like May or something.
I know, and so I figured I was going to get it because they're implementing a lot of new features with how to play co-op.
Yeah.
Including voice chat.
Mm-hmm.
Finally. Well, I know that seems minuscule, but the idea is to play with randoms all the time.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to do it to where you can pick who you're co-oping with.
I don't know.
That'd be cool, though, if you could, instead of just getting a random person.
Yeah.
I know this is sidetracking a little bit, but since I'm talking about it, they're also implementing a feature where... You can be invaded all the time now.
Oh, hell no.
And no matter if you're playing, unless you're just completely offline, and as you die, every time you die, your health gets lower, so you have to restore your full health with an item before...
That's going
to
make it even more realistic. I want to throw my controller
at the
wall.
It's going to make it even more hardcore. I'm actually excited about it.
But, I mean, you can always...
They did that in Demon's Souls. Like, every time you died, it made the game harder,
and
you had less health. It changed the attunement of the level or something.
You had the tendencies, the world tendencies, which was dark and white, so black and white, and then gray. And so every time you died, and what it would do is that doorways would start to close. So all these extra places you could go would become off limits.
But some things would open, which would actually be like optional bosses and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're kind of trying to mix Demon Souls a little more with Dark Souls. There's still bonfires, though. Yeah.
Now, of course, like in the original, in Dark Souls, the first one, you could always, there was a way of keeping people from invading your world. Maybe if they did, you could banish them back.
Yeah, they said there's supposed to be more items in Dark Souls 2 where you can actually help get rid of people.
Yeah. And in Demon's Souls, there was the ring you could wear that would make you invisible from online.
Demon's Souls or Dark Souls?
In Demon's Souls, there was a ring of that you could wear that would make you invisible. All you gotta do see you,
so. In Dark Souls, the easiest way not to get invaded on the Xbox at least was to go into a party chat and it was like, you're offline, and then nobody could come and get you. So that's what I did a lot of times.
Well, you can actually just put it in off line though. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Well, I know, but I would be going in all of a sudden, I would hook up party chat and it's like, you are no longer online. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'll just, because a lot of times whenever I was stuck on the level with the two bosses for that month and a half, people would invade right at that time. It's like, you're being invaded. And then every time I try to go down, and then I'd lose all my humanity, so I had to go kill all those little fuckers with knives. Just had to kill them and start getting it before I get my humanity up, and then I'd finally get my partner, and then I'd run, and...
I think I played that game so much that because I beat it on, or almost beat it on Xbox, and then I actually played it through and beat it and got a new game plus on PC. To where any time I got invaded, I just felt confident. There was very few times that I lost, and it was just because, you know, you could see what kind of sword they had and their attack animation. You got used to it and knew what attack they were going to use, and like Trent was saying earlier on the show, months back, did dodge roll and backstab.
Just find a room that has one entrance and turn your back to it and get on the other end. One that has a bit of depth to it, so you have some room to move. But when they come in through the door, they'll see you, and if they're a total dick, which most of them are, they're going to try and come up and get one of the hardcore animation kills where they just fucking stab you from behind and they kick you the fuck off of their blade or whatever. And when they go in for that, you just need to roll backwards. And you'll come up behind them, and they're already in their lunge, so they're going to hit, and then you can just come up and do an insta-kill.
It's fun. So. I found a couple that on YouTube just messing around watching the invade. And you see the ones that are always the ones that are like, ha, 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 douche move, and the guy's like shooting with a dragon bow.
Yeah,
and you
get
the one where they get him to attack, and it hits the great big blacksmith.
Yeah.
And the bucket kills you, then you can't use a blacksmith anymore.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you can stumble across one of those peaches where it's like the person that got invaded got like revenge on him. Like one of them, he was standing, it's the room with the two guys where you know how you can, when you're at the top of the stairs.
At Orlando.
If you're not careful, you can roll off and go down to where like the chests are that are alive. And you have all those big headed guys. Yeah. So the guy was standing there and he got invited. So he was just standing there. I don't know if the guy was a noob or whatever, but he came up to the hardcore kill and the guy rolled out of the way and the dude went flying off.
The edge.
And he was doing it. And there was a couple more where he was just standing in the doorway. The guy went for the roll, and he rolled that way, and all of a sudden he rolled in the bed chambers, and both those guys came and killed him. You see the guy trying to get out of there, just whack, 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 and they just killed him. And every once in a while you'll come across those videos, and you just laugh, because you're like, oh, that's amazing.
So my favorite is right before you fight the two brothers,
Fat Boy and Slim.
Orbinston and whatever.
Yeah.
There's the room that has the two gigantic dudes in there. And that's where you summon Solari to come and help you, and that's when I would usually get invaded, is right in that
area.
So what I do is I would actually wait for the two guys to kind of make their way off, and I jump down to the middle, and I just stay clear of their path and just stay down there in the bottom of the floor, waiting for that guy to show up. And of course, the guy would come down to come after me, and then I'd actually aggro one of the dudes and run away. And then the guy's chasing me; he's got these two guys just doing shield bashes and swings and stuff, and I've never tried running into the boss area.
You can.
Yeah, I never tried that because I'm sure it wouldn't allow them in there.
But you'd be scared to death.
It'd be interesting because I know as soon as I finished, then they'd be there.
Yeah.
Because it unlocks the fog gate and then I can go back and forth.
I got invaded once and the guy came in and I got Solaris and I just ran straight into the boss fight.
Yeah.
Into the little cloud of fog, and I came through, and then Solaris didn't pop, and I'm like, oh, son of a bitch, and I'm rolling, trying to get away. All of a sudden, Solaris comes in there, and he's already got, like, half a life, because the new big guys
he were probably able kill
to him. Out of him.
Yeah.
So then he aggroes the Dragon Slayer. He aggroes the big fatty, so I kill the dragon, Dragon Slayer, and then the big fatty comes up with the great big
hammer.
Lightning hammer.
Yeah.
But then the other guy that invaded wasn't there anymore. So I was like, oh, thank goodness. He didn't come through. You know what I'm saying? So. But yeah, once in a while, you can come across those videos where you just get to see the person invading just get owned. You're like, oh, that makes my life.
I think the interesting thing, though, is like, we've been talking about Dark Souls forever. I mean, me and Trent got it day one, played the shit out of it.
Definitely one of my favorite games.
It seems like finally the larger media types Yeah. It finally caught on, and the popularity of that game has gone way up. Mm-hmm. I've seen it on several, like, most anticipated of 2014's lists.
Well, what's going to happen is
Ornstein and Smog.
Yeah. But what's going to happen is a lot of people are going to play it and they're going to get mad because it's going to be like with the, if the health of
just
go
I'm
down.
For, I'm just waiting for a bunch of noobs to invade me so I can kill a bunch of dudes.
Yeah. Well, it's like in the expansion, the Prepare to Die expansion, mm-hmm. they have the battle arena where you can go in and fight people, and I've done that a couple times. It's pretty crazy, especially when you actually have the teams, because you can do two on two. And that's actually pretty fun. You just get some random dude with you against two other random dudes who don't fucking know each other, and you just start beating the shit out of the other guys.
Cool, though, if on the co-op, like, you get to pick it, because you and Trent could go in there and just go to town on people, but then they're going to know the other people, too, so they're going to go. So it'd be a little bit more interesting than just four random
people. Well, and I know they're also working on summoning more people, or summoning more help for the bosses.
Yeah.
Which makes me think maybe the bosses will be tuned a little harder than last time.
No, I'm hoping they will. I saw a couple of the bosses in the new one. They did a little preview of the bosses of Dark Souls 2, and they didn't show too much. They're keeping a little bit of a lot of it secret, you know.
Yeah, they need to.
But the ones I saw were just quick little snaps of them. They were pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Sometimes, so,
like the guy that's covered in corpses or something.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I play Dark Souls, and
a lot more dragons
for a
too,
while,
by the way. Yeah, there's a
and
lot
haven't
lot
played
more
for a while, dragons. And you get to that boss, and when you just make a mistake, it feels like there's a thing on Facebook that was like the DM's pissed at you, and the whole mountain is this great big earth elemental, and you can't get away. I'm like, oh, that's how I feel like playing Dark Souls sometimes. Because you'll go and you attack those trees, and you're in the forest area, and you're like, all right, and turn around, it's like nine of them just swarmed on you, and you're like, ah!
No, I think the worst is when you go down from where you fight Quaelug, and you go down to the fire area, and you go walking around, and there's this. So that's where you get your gold-hemmed armor, you know? And you're like, oh, hey, gold-hemmed armor. You pick it up, and all of a sudden, ceaseless discharge comes out. And it's just this big, giant red thing,
oh,
and it's like,
horrible.
What's up, bitch? you're like, oh, that's a fucking tentacle. And you start running, and it's like just trying to slam tentacles down everywhere. And you're like, okay, I'm never fucking going back down there again. I got what I needed. I'm not fucking going back down. Then later on, you realize, okay, I got nothing else to do. I'm going to go down there.
Kill
that. So like, it shouldn't be too bad. That was 30 hours ago. Mm-hmm. I'm a lot better now. You go down there, just fucking lays waste to you. He just fucking kills you, and you're like, man, I cannot get away from this guy. And then you finally say, all right, fuck it. So you put on paladin armor, so you get a little bit of higher fire resistance, and you can move still. And just a lot of lucky timing with those tentacle strikes, and you finally take him down, and you just, that was probably the crowning achievement of Dark Souls, was taking Ceaseless Discharge out.
What sucks
and then
is,
you then come to find out he's actually one of the easiest bosses according to everybody else.
Well, what sucks is whenever you beat it and then you give the hint, and then what did they do? They did a patch update, so then how you beat him doesn't even exist anymore. You're like, oh,
yeah,
that sucks ass.
Well,
and then,
like,
you have to try to figure out how to beat him again.
Well, it's like Capra Demon. You run into him inside the tower.
He was
area.
So hard until I fucking cheesed the hell out of it.
Well, what you do is you just, as soon as you get in there, you roll past the two dogs
that
try and beat you. Yeah, and you kill the dogs on the stairs because Capra won't come up there. He'll keep jumping, so you got to keep your shield up.
Yeah.
Once you take the two dogs out, you get right on the edge, right by the tree, and he'll keep trying to fling up and hit you. When he lands, just do a drop attack on him. He'll take out half of his health. Yeah. Then they patched it. Now the fucker walks up the stairs and will come after you.
That's what I'm saying. They know. They're like, screw you.
Yeah.
I don't tell nobody.
Well, they're
patch.
They're pretty adamant about patching nerfs, and that's actually cool. I kind of like that because.
Yeah.
It's like, by the time I go through my new game plus, all the shit I did to get through it the first time is now different. I can't do it now, so I'm like, God damn it. So
what
I gotta
sucks
think
is, the dude that gave you the ring that once you put it on, you never take it off.
Yeah, favor, ring of favor.
Yeah, the ring of favor. They're like, oh, he's in this jail cell. I was like, oh, that's cool. So you go to the jail cell, and you bust it down, and he's in the jail cell. I'm like, what the hell? So you spend like 2 hours, I can't find this dude. I'm like, okay, and I go on and watch... not how to plays, but just the strategy ones.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, and I'm looking at the dates, and I'm like, okay, and at the time, it was like 2013. I'm like, okay, this was like yesterday. What the hell is going on? So then I go off and find this other guy, and he's like, sometimes he's down there by the girl that he'll kill if you don't take him. I'm like, oh, so then I have to go back to the original bonfire, run down, he's just sitting there, and he's like, leave me alone. I'm like, dude, I want to fight you, and it's like, you're like, leave me alone. Then he starts walking away. I'm like, no. And then you finally get him, and then you can aggro people. I'm like, oh, what the hell?
The best way to do the ring of favor is, sorry, to get favor's ring is let him kill your bonfire chick that's in the cage.
Yeah.
Let him kill her. And when you come back, there'll be, what is it, that Dark Eye Orb? Yeah. And when you carry that into Anor Londo, when you're in the room full of the two giant tower guards, wipe them out. And it, as soon as you walk in there, if you have that Black Eye Orb, it'll say the Black Eye Orb quivers with power. If you pull it out, it'll teleport you to Favor's world, which is in that room. And he's there with two bodyguards, two just regular guys, and they will suck. They suck so fucking bad. But if you can take them out, Favor really won't fuck with you too much while you're fighting them. And then you have to fight him. If you kill him, then you get all of his shit. You get his armor, you get his ring, you get all that stuff.
Because if you kill him... That was something
I never did. I always just killed him with the ring.
See, I did it right then.
If you kill him before he kills that chick, then that chick will... I forgot what is that? She does something. I forget what it is, but it gives you extra bonuses. It's a
she probably reinforces something on you that gives you.
She has something to do with, I think, some of the covenants.
Yeah.
Well, no, what does she do? You go to her and she'll say, "Oh, thank you," blah 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 blah, and then you do it, and it's.
But is
you can bring her. You can bring her stuff, and she'll do it. And I forget what it is. I gotta go back and do it again. But she actually gives you a really cool bonus if you don't let him kill her. But what sucks is I killed him on mine when I did. I found another, so I went to kill him, and and something happened, and I fell off and died. And I went back, and he wasn't sitting in the spot again. I'm like, this blows. So I just gave up on it, and then I went up in the thing, and there was the Jesso again. I'm like, okay, now.
Well, what's funny,
I was able to kill him that way, but...
Well, what's funny is I did kill him one time
when
he was up there, and the way I did it was I kicked him off the fucking edge. Because you used to be able to do that. You can't do it now. But you used to be able to just do...
I think the kicking off the edge attack is probably one of the best ones.
Yeah, that's but now...
In general,
it's such a piss-off.
Yeah. Well, what you can do, what's cool, though, is when he comes at you, if you just go down that long hallway... You just keep going, keeping your back to it.
Yeah.
He'll attack you, and you just do it with your shield, and you do a couple. It might take a little bit longer, but you can just cheese kill him easy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so other than waiting for Dark Souls 2, I've just been doing the family thing, and we're getting a lot of overtime.
Nice.
So that's what I've been doing.
Work.
Jason. What about you, Jason? Work.
Absolutely dick.
Burning steaks.
Oh, you burned some steaks. Wow. That's a crime.
I burned a steak.
A steak.
Mm.
The biggest steak.
Well, so you said burning steaks as in multiple, plural.
Oh, well.
Yeah. No.
Well, maybe he's burning people.
Come on, college boy. Get it right.
Maybe he kind of did burn two steaks, but one was at request. The other one was, you fucked up.
Yeah. Well, you know. We've been
waiting all day to talk about this, it sounds like.
Man, he seems angry.
Yeah. He's like, it was my steak and I'm mad.
The newlyweds were like,
were you the caterer?
No.
No.
Oh, thank God.
They were like, hey,
nothing
we'll buy steaks. Yeah. Bring your grill over.
Nothing ruins you cook them. Burning a steak.
And this is our thanks for helping us with the wedding. So I get off work Friday, go load up my grill, get over there. It's like 9:30 by the time I'm over there.
Cooking steaks in the middle of the goddamn night.
And I throw these steaks on. It's a
good time to do it.
And I ask the question first, like I always do.
Should never
ask. How do you want your steak?
Should never ask.
We need to do another steak cook.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
But it warms up a little bit.
Unlike everyone at this table, there were two there that said...
Well.
No, one said medium well. The other one said medium or medium well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't do that.
I translate that all to rare. Right? So when he says medium well, I go like, all
right.
Put it in the microwave.
Yeah.
So I actually tried to cook these steaks to where they wanted them.
You mean you burned the shit?
There was six steaks in total. Four of them came out okay. The other two were leather. One was exceptionally leather.
Yeah. So in my quest to cook medium well, which I haven't done in a decade.
The bottom of the fucker looked like that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, the one who wanted medium well got a steak brick. And the one who wanted meat... The one who wanted medium got medium well.
The look on her face, it was amazing. He puts the freaking burnt side down trying to hide it. She cuts into it, takes one bite, and she just gets this sad look on her face. Like,
Yeah.
Nope. how did you destroy this?
Nice.
The best part of the whole thing, it's the newlywed wife's steak.
Yeah, you know, she was the hostess. That's awesome.
You burnt her steak.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was an exceptional dick move. And he's got, like, a perfectly cooked fucking giant steak in front of him.
A perfectly good...
And he didn't...
Medium rare steak sitting in front of me.
He could have cut off a piece and gave it to her.
He didn't want the burnt steak.
Well, she ended up giving it to him, and then he gave it to her husband.
And then her husband was like, my dad always turned steaks into shoe leather. Pass that over here. I can take care of it.
And he covers it in mashed potatoes and gravy, and that's the only way you can get it down.
Oh, no, I particularly like a burnt steak.
I don't think so.
No. I know you may not. I said I particularly like
burnt steak. Well, you can eat bricks, and we'll eat good steak.
Well.
Yeah.
Well, some people don't like...
What kind of hamburger do you want?
Some people don't like blood or natural.
Hey, if my beef doesn't still moo, it's ruined.
That's perfectly fine for you. I'm not saying you gotta like it. I just said some people like burnt steak.
So this is why in our society, opinions just... Don't stay as opinions.
I know, right?
People take them as fact, right? It's like, they have to be this way. Like him.
I'm
on your side with
that. Thank you.
I like rare, medium rare.
Yeah.
He likes them well or whatever. That's fine. Yeah. That's perfect. That's fine.
Just don't ask me to cook it that way.
Be a pinko commie. I don't care. It's up to you. Yeah.
It's your choice. Yeah. It's my choice to hate you, not... I don't hate you, dude.
It's your choice, comrade.
Right? I don't hate you.
I don't hate you.
I don't hate you. Just cook your own steak. So
now, if you try to vote, that's a different story,
right?
If you try to get married, that's a different story.
I lucked out.
I lucked out. My wife doesn't like her meat to have blood in it, so we're good.
She doesn't like for your meat to have blood on it.
No.
That just makes it awkward.
Oh, this is fun.
That was awesome. Your meat to have blood on it.
So what about you, Trent?
I've been doing a lot of stuff. Let's see here. What was it? We already went over Valentine's Day last week. Yeah. So I did all the Valentine's Day stuff. Picked up some games. I picked up Disciples Reincarnation. Yeah. I haven't had a chance to play yet.
I picked that up too. You need to remind me of that.
Yeah. Disciples 3. I love Disciples 3. So when I saw there's a new little expansion thing for it, I grabbed it. Looks awesome. Picked up Cargo Commander.
What the fuck is that?
I've not played that. That one's actually pretty cool. You're like alone in space going through this like cargo holds. It's like this cool little gravity puzzle game. Pretty cool. I haven't had a chance to play yet because I was playing another one I picked up. I also picked up Silent Storm, which is an RTS that takes place in like World War II or something like that. It's really weird.
You just go like crazy on fucking Steam.
They had their Midweek Madness and these games were like $2. So I was like, all right.
And Sam's just like, I got $10 to spend.
I got Space Engineers finally. That one was actually like $12. So,
Wait a second. Space Engineers, isn't that the space like SimCity?
Yeah, like Minecraft. Mm-hmm. You build stuff, you build your own space stations, and you can build vehicles and fly them around.
Have you gotten to play much of that yet?
I played about 30 minutes of it the other night, and it was pretty fun. It's still in development, sort of, but it's pretty cool. I'm enjoying it. Got Typewriter. That's type and then R-I-D-E-R. That game's actually cool. It's done in a parallax side scroll, kind of like Limbo.
Is it a typing game?
No.
Okay.
No. It's like and you Mario play.
You remember playing Mario Teaches Typing?
Yeah. I remember Typing of the Dead. I still have Typing of the Dead for PC. But no, you play like ellipses. Like just two little dots, and you control them with your left and right arrows, and you jump. And the cool thing is that you go through worlds that are based on certain typographies, font faces. So they have like a Helvetica world that's done up like all James Bond style.
Yeah.
Because that was the font that was used for a lot of James Bond stuff. So the music's very kind of James Bondy and crap, and you're like going through like these swoops and everything and trying to get stuff. And then halfway through the level goes to like this 70s like tie-dye, the screen's like shifted, really creepy weird stuff. You go through Garamond text, you go through Deco, and it's all done up in these different periods when that font was popular or what it was based on. And I actually really like the game. I thought it was actually pretty cool. It was actually pretty hard, too. So, it's a short game. It's only, like, maybe about 2.5 hours, 2 hours at most.
But you only paid $2 for it.
Yeah, I only paid, like, maybe $4 or $5 for that one, actually, because it just came out. and it was on sale. So, picked that one up. I put a lot of time into one called Oh My God Zombies. That I will admit I'm enjoying the show. I showed it to you.
Yes.
It's a cute game. Okay, so how it works is it's got massive amounts of levels. And there's really not a lot to the levels other than you play this guy who's on top of some structure in the level with a sniper rifle. There's all kinds of different types of zombies around. There's zombies that when you shoot them, they melt down to piles of acid, which then kill other zombies around them to walk into, which then cause a chain reaction. There's zombies when you shoot them, they electrify the zombies. There's exploding zombies. There's cop zombies. When you shoot them, they fire off a shot, which then hits another zombie right across from them.
Or so it's like a weird, like...
It's like a chain reaction game. Like
Tetris hybrid thing?
Almost like that, yeah. It's just, but they're all random moving. They just kind of go in their own little way, so you kind of have to watch.
What is it, plan. 2D or...?
Yeah, it's just an overhead little shitty game. it's addictive as crap. It's addictive as crap. And you can level yourself up. Like you only have, like, I think to start with, like, 3 shots in the round to clear out as many zombies as possible. And I think I have my gun up to where I have, like, 5 shots now. And then you can also beef up the effect of shooting a certain type of zombie. So you can level them up to where you can like, level up your electric zombies to where they can electrify things further away. And either way, it's fun as hell. It's called Oh My God Zombies. And the OMG,
right now.
OMG Zombies.
Some of the chain reactions are pretty awesome.
Yeah, they're actually pretty fun. It's fun when you shoot one over here on this corner and then you just watch it spread across the entire screen. It's like zombies dying everywhere.
It's very pretty monochrome, fun. Isn't it?
Yes. It's all black and white. You it's can go into zombie view monochrome. When you press V and it highlights the different types of zombies, different colors, so you can tell them apart. But other than that, it's all black and white. So, really fucking fun, though. I'm digging the hell out of it.
It's not like an alpha or anything like that. It's just
No, it's finished. It's finished and it's out there. And I don't know how much it is. Let me check how much it is.
$4.99.
Worth the money. I'll say that for $5. Is that just regular price?
Yep.
Yeah, it's worth $5. I think I paid like $1.75 for it. But I would have paid $5 for it. Then I picked up Dark Out.
I've been meaning to pick that up.
Yeah, that one's... I played about 11 minutes of it because I was hanging out with my girlfriend, so I really couldn't spend too much time doing it. But that one's kind of like... You can adjust the world size from huge to small. And what you're basically doing is you're going around collecting stuff, resources, crafting, fighting enemies. You're all by yourself. And it's actually pretty interesting. You can also craft clothing, do different things with the clothes and all that. It's pretty fun. I still have yet to put like a decent amount of time to really
figure
be able
out.
To give it an honest opinion, but it's like $14.99 right now. I think I paid like $10 for it, but from the amount of what I can tell is in there, $14.99, you'll get your money's worth for game length, because you can generate different planets and have
Isn't
characters
like
for each planet. Yeah, I was going to try and compare it to Starbound in a way, except you don't really leave the planet. Well, actually, I think you do at some point. But it's procedurally generated, if I recall. So it's never quite the same. Once you build a world, I think that world stays as it is. But if you're just playing a free world, I think it'll actually kind of just go as you go. So I can't remember all the details, too. But it is pretty damn fun. And like I said, I need to play some more of it to have a real opinion over it. Let me take a look here. I finally got my code for Thief.
Nice.
Yeah, and
it looks like it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be out here in about 4 hours. I went ahead and redeemed that, and I have it preloaded and all that, so I'm going to jump on that once we get done with the show tonight. And between now and next week, hopefully I'll have these other games I picked up and gone through and talked about. Other than that, watched Ninja Turtles. With the girlfriend, the old one.
The old one.
Yeah,
okay.
The new one's not out yet.
I was going to say, I think the new one was out, but you got me confused.
No, we were talking about Ninja Turtles, and she's a huge
Which Ninja
Turtles
did you
fan,
watch?
So. We watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
The original.
Number one?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yes.
All right.
I did not want to sit through number two with it.
Woo!
Number two's pretty bad.
Yeah, well,
number
one's
two,
even pretty
bad.
So,
Number two, you just go.
Well, it's funny.
I'm still kind of amazed at the animatronics on that.
Okay, hold on. The suits are one thing. When Splinter's doing his recanting of what happened to him, that's some horrible fucking puppeteering. Where it shows the rat in the cage.
And number two, do you know who played Shredder in number two?
No, I don't remember.
It was Kevin Nash.
Hey, you want to know who played one of the lead foot kids in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1?
You.
Sam Rockwell.
Oh, Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, you remember Sam Rockwell? Hammer from Iron Man.
Yeah.
I recognize. I was watching this. I was like, holy shit, that's Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell's been in a lot of stuff you don't realize.
Yeah, my girlfriend was like, who the fuck's he? I said, a really good actor.
Who the hell is that guy?
Yeah. Well, she doesn't know actors that well, so when I say, hey, that's so-and-so, she goes, who's that? And I was just like, a really good actor. I like a lot of his movies, and Sam Rockwell definitely.
Apparently, he's got a new project coming out. I watched guys on YouTube, Rhett and Link, talking about they went to Sundance.
Yeah,
and he was on the thing. He was on the plane, and one of them was sitting next to him, and he was going through. He was rehearsing a script for a new movie. He's going to be, I think, it's a zombie movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
interesting.
If I remember right.
Hopefully, he plays Guy from Galaxy Quest in that. What's my name?
My wife hates Galaxy Quest. And it turns out we're watching Galaxy Quest. She's like, I go get the movie out of the
closet. Come on, that movie rocks.
Dude, I love that movie so much.
That's the best parody sci-fi.
He plays a great knockoff of William Shatner so well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's like even Alan Rickman as Dr. Lazarus, great Spock kind of influence there. By Grapthar's hammer. By the sons of
Tony DeLube is so relaxed.
Yeah. He's on Lortaz. He's on Somas and Lortaz. Yeah. Whenever they all get portaled up and they're all like flipping out and shit, and then he shows up, he's like, that was a hell of a thing.
I like the part where he's just sitting there and she turns the alien, he's like, cool.
It's the same scene where he brings a rock monster in, and the rock monster's attacking all of Ceres's men. He goes, "It's the little things in life." great movie.
Such a great movie. Way ahead of its time.
Yeah, I'm gonna make my girlfriend watch that with me.
Every time it comes on, she gets mad at me. But
yeah, also I'm trying to get her to watch the new Bond movies, and my selling point on that is Adele did the intro music, and she likes Adele.
There you go.
And so I was like, well, here, check out Skyfall's intro. So hopefully I can get her watching.
It doesn't really work the same for me. I'm like, baby, let's watch Spy Hard. Why? Renal did the intro.
Okay.
And I'm like, Spy Hard, I hate you so much. We're watching it anyway.
Spy Hard. God, that's a horrible
thing. It don't matter. It's funny as
hell. I remember I read somewhere that Tom Hardy might be the next James Bond.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
I'm actually kind of down with that because for a young James Bond, I guess.
I think he still needs to get some ears on him.
Yeah. He's Bane, and then he was in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, which was great. Yeah. And he's a good actor.
He was also in the one where he did the one where he played the one man, and he was playing like. Oh man, what was that movie we were just talking about the other day?
James Bond never ages.
He does.
He's always potentially like 45.
James
though.
Bond is the original Benjamin Button. He went old to young.
Yeah.
Boom, there it was.
Yeah. Yeah. But, well, I mean, Ian Fleming, I mean, well, the books are fantastic, but if they went with Tom Hardy, see, I actually really, really enjoy, what's his name, the current one?
Daniel Craig,
yeah. I didn't think I was going to like Daniel Craig as well, but actually, I like him more.
My favorite
I still haven't seen any of the Daniel Craig James Bonds.
They are fucking awesome.
They are, yeah, these three movies are,
they're really good.
Wasn't he in Layer Cake, Daniel Craig?
You and me on the same
I can't
one.
Remember.
Russell, what's
he in what?
Say.
Layer Cake.
No,
wasn't he in Layer
Cake? What do you want to say?
I haven't seen them.
I think he was.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If I remember right, he was in Layer Cake, and the funniest part of the thing is he's like, talking about guns, like, I don't like guns. Like, ooh. And then they show this little hanger. He's like, ooh, I kind of like that one. And then he takes it off. But it's one of the first things. And I think it was him in Layer
Cake. Yeah, he was in Layer Cake.
He's like, you know, I don't like guns. I don't like violence. And he's like, ooh, I like that one. And then he takes it. And it's hilarious.
But, yeah, no. Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall.
Quantum of Solace was hard to get through. Which that one? Was like the emo James
Bond. Quantum of Solace?
It was like the emo James Bond.
Oh, don't throw away the story too much here.
Anyways, but James was very sad.
Yeah, Yeah, no, it was sad.
It was like if he was a painter, it was his blue period.
Yeah, no, I'll say that. He's right.
Skyfall. Oh, that's just amazing.
Skyfall is him after being jaded, pissed on, getting his balls ripped from underneath the chair. I like it because
he comes through that thing.
And now he's mad.
He comes through the little tram. He's like, yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh my god, you're amazing.
Yeah, plus it has Ralph Fiennes in it. I love Ralph Fiennes. Yeah. And also Javier Bardem.
Fucking fantastic.
Now, he is amazing in everything he does. Yeah.
He doesn't even have the horrible haircut.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
And he doesn't even have a horrible haircut in this one. I mean,
he's perfect. The whole character. I mean, he does. Remember the elevator scene where he's coming down and he's just doing this one line of dialogue from like fucking forever down the fucking room all the way up to the chair and just ends perfectly. It was just timed perfectly. And it's the weirdest story ever about how they got rid of rats off the island. He's just like, by teaching the rats to eat their own. And he's just walking up and he goes like, "So, Mr. Bolton." And you're like, wow, that's really fucking cool.
Yeah, I mean,
so greatness.
As much as I liked the first two films, the way they wrote the villain character in Skyfall was the Bond villain at its best.
Yeah, he was basically
like
the
Dr. No.
Yeah, I was gonna say he was actually Dr. No with every other Bond villain wrapped into like all rolled into one. The perfect little pieces of him.
I'll agree.
And with a hint of homosexuality. Because he's very homoerotic at times. Yeah. Where he's sitting there and he's got his hands on Bond's legs. And Bond kind of like makes a move and he goes like, "Oh, is this uncomfortable for you?" And Bond just goes, so he says, "It must be uncomfortable your first time." He goes, "What makes you think it's my first time?"
See, and it kind of looks at him like... It's the banter. This is the way I like to look at Skyfall. It's like James Bond is like the ultimate BAMF.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got this villain. So the villain's going to throw you off. What do? You just counteract it and make him go, "Oh hell, I can't win."
Yeah,
and that's what makes it so great.
Basically, they make Bond out to be a Barbie slightly. The gay guy's trophy, in a way at times, but it's so well done. His Bimby. But it was a great movie. But either way, we watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which was fantastic to watch again after all this time. did that.
I just hope April O'Neil is attractive. I've heard all the rumors of who she's going to play her, and I'm not happy.
Even know if they have Casey Jones in this one. Because Elias Cody has played him in the original, and I actually like Casey Jones.
I like Casey Jones too, but they made him a putz.
Yeah, they made him comic relief. So.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
So, but Elias Cody was a good choice to cast because he did a good job as
it. I agree.
But either way. Did that, and then my girlfriend's birthday is this month, and so is mine. So she went ahead and she gave me my birthday gift early because she picked it up, and it was something that you and I were talking about on the cast actually, because I was thinking about buying it, and she went and she got it for me, and it's 1936 Astounding Stories with H.P. Lovecraft doing A Shadow at a Time. So
I like H.P. Lovecraft. I mean, if when you first read him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different. I mean, you have to wrap your head around.
Well, he's a very descriptive person.
He really is. Yeah. But I mean, if you read his past, I mean, it's just the stuff from his night terrors. And a lot of it's from that. I mean, it's the stuff that kept him awake at night.
Well, his mother and father both got syphilis and died of insanity, basically. You know, syphilitis.
Because it goes straight to the brain. So
they didn't have a cure for it by then,
So the Archduke of Canterbury.
Yeah, Hitler had it. So, by the way,
a lot of people had it back then.
Yeah. By the way, it's a great piece. It's the last. He only did four Astonishing Stories.
Read it in PDF, aren't you?
No, I'm not opening it. I've opened it once or twice. So I've already read that story. So he actually
wanted to go.
Yeah, I showed you guys.
Show us the awesome camel ads.
Yeah, they have camel cigarette ads and all that. But he did four Astonishing Stories and the two middle ones was At the Mountains of Madness, broken into two parts, and I want both of those parts. So I might have to spend about $1,000 to get the other three, but I want them like really bad.
I put that in a safe
place. I'm going to, yeah. I'm actually going to get it a picture box framed, instead of a picture box. So it just looks like a poster, you know? So you can't tell it's a book.
my sister-in-law did that for me. Her brother passed and had a bunch of comics, and he had one of Captain America, like, what was it? Like his
fifth showing or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
In a fifth appearance.
With Bucky.
She just put it in a little thing and said, here picture, you go. Yeah. Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Well, see, I keep this in a nice place inside of my dresser. I keep it in there so it's just tucked away. So because we smoke in the house, so I keep it in there until I get it box framed. But, yeah, it's pretty badass. I'm pretty excited. Plus, I bought Star Wars Original Trilogy Trivial Pursuit. Down?
Yeah.
Yeah, instead of die, you don't have... Okay, they have pewter.
Yeah.
They have pewter statues, and the little wedge pieces are now little like the chiclet things that you slide into the front that sit around the bases. But there's not a die anymore. It's just an R2-D2 that you tap, and it randomizes a number for you while it makes R2-D2 sounds. Beep, 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 beep.
That's fucking badass.
It's from 1999. I always wanted it, and I found it, finally, a complete set for like $20. And I was like, all right, cool. You know, so I bought it. And I was thinking of taking, I think I was talking to you about that, where I was going to create an ultimate Trivial Pursuit game by getting different card decks, 6 of them total. So we got Star Wars, we got Genius Edition Trivial Pursuit, 90s, 80s, and maybe something else. And when you roll to see how many spaces you move, if you land, whatever color you land on, you roll again to see which deck you pull from. So it could be a Star Wars question.
You'll never run into the same question again.
Yeah, exactly. Because instead of having just 4,000 cards, now you've got like all 16. Yeah. Yeah, you got like 20,000 cards to choose from. The this ultimate is
Jeopardy.
The ultimate Trivial Pursuit game. That's what I'm down for. Wow. Yes. My girlfriend and I play it just about. We've played it just about every weekend now since about 2 weekends now straight. We love it. We can't get away from it. So, but like anyways, crack. It is like crack. But fortunately, the version I have was made in 1981. This is where she got me the original, like, 7th version of the Genius Edition. So all the questions are like pre-1980. So it's, I get a lot of them.
You really got to dig into your reserves at that point.
Yeah, it's like I get a lot of the random ones about entertainment sometimes. Like there's questions about Godfather and stuff like that I get. And then there's some other ones about just regular history that I sometimes get. And there's ones about just geography where those places don't even exist anymore. They've changed names. You know, I'm like, I don't, what the fuck is that?
It's like anything in Eastern Europe.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Rebecca, she gets all the science ones, you know, because she's all about science. And I get a number of those too. That's about the only category that when we get to choose our own category, we always go to science. Because we know it's going to be one we can probably get. Yeah, unless it's some weird, random, sometimes sort of really random, like, astrology questions in there. For some, I don't know why. So, it's just like, what's your birthstone if you're born in August? You know, and,
I like the one that it was like, 1936, it was like, really
everybody weird. Remembers the 1936 Olympics.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's like, I was going to pass.
It's some kind of... Let me take a look. I'm actually curious because it's this really crazy fucking name. Let me make sure it was. Peridot?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Oh, sorry. That's what you said. Okay, my bad. Yeah, no, it is
Peridot. August birthday.
Yeah.
It's like off a dodgeball.
Well, what's funny is I got that one when it said, what month were you born on if your birthstone is Peridot? And I said August. Because I knew it was somewhere around there, but I couldn't remember if it was Peridot. There's one I couldn't remember, and it's Peridot. Mm-hmm. I always forget the fucking name of that.
It's like a dodgeball, but it's like, it's kind of we haven't seen a game like this since the 1926 Helsinki, and say, we all remember how that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you get those questions about science, you're like, oh yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Now they ask questions like, what type of sport is allégé? And I'm just like, what?
Isn't that the one?
No, I don't. No, it's not that.
There's one that's in weird. Florida that has a really weird name, and it's like, it's like racquetball. It's like racquetball and wall ball put together. And that ball goes like 80 miles an hour. We learned about it watching a show called The Glaze. Like, that's not even a real sport. And you look at it, and it's like a real sport, and these people get paid a lot of money. Yeah. Like, what the hell?
Well, she
never even learned about it.
She's blown away when I get questions like, "Who was the who was Times Man of the Year in 1929 or something?" I go like, Charles Lindbergh, and she's like, "How the fuck did you know that?" And I'm like, "He was popular at the time. He was the number one man in America."
There you go.
And then like, I think there was another one what game was made popular on cruise liners? And I said shuffleboard. She's like, how the fuck did you know? What the fuck?
So much. You got Princess Leia. You got Darth Vader with his lightsaber. You got Chewie. You got
C-3PO dismantled down here. And you got an AT-AT walking in the back with, looks like a stormtrooper taking a piss on a tree. So much epicness in that.
Yeah.
One of the pages I was caught up more in side boot.
Yeah, there's side boot. But yeah, there's just much stuff.
I got caught somewhere in the center of the picture as well.
By Vader's crotch.
By Vader's crotch.
Yeah. That's funny. Just a lot of stuff on that.
It
was true.
Yeah.
Either way.
Wow. It's a page I follow that they just like, it's like, happy Sunday. It's like, that's a good photo. And then she also put one down that says, Venom will always be your favorite superhero. And she does some cosplay and stuff. Let me show you. You'll like the photo.
Jeez. So, like Trent, do you
I was saying, either way, that's pretty much what I've been doing. Not too much else.
You're still learning Russian, buddy?
Yeah, I'm still learning Russian.
What'd you learn?
Oh, I did get one other game
would be her favorite.
To finally work, and it's a Russian game that came out that I picked up like a year ago.
I like Venom too,
and it would not work. And I finally got it to work because I think Steam finally forced them to update their shit so that it would work. And it was, let me see if I can pull it up here. Which one was it? It was, where the fuck did it go? I think it's called Check versus Mate. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, Check versus Mate, which is like battle chess. So it's like it has these animated figures and stuff, and you go up and you attack.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and I bought it a long time ago, but the registration process would never work because you have to register it, and then it gives you all this stuff, and you have to do all this other crap, and it would just never connect to the Russian server to do it. Steam jumped their ass finally and got them to fix it so now I could actually play it a year later, and it's actually pretty epic.
That's cool. So what do you think about the bear on the Olympics? The creepy blowing, the bear blowing.
I haven't been watching the closing Olympics
ceremony. It was they said the bear got up there and blew out some wind and blew out the flame. I guess the bear was their mascot or something. They said it was really creepy though.
Yeah, I have
bear,
not watched
the bear farted and killed the flame.
No, he got not farted. But there went like that, and like blew air out and blew out the flame in Fish Stadium. They said it was kind of creepy though.
Yeah. No. Wow. The Sochi mascot was. Yeah. Really creepy.
So it was a dude in a bear suit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was that kind of like happy creepy bear.
Yeah.
Like, pedo bear?
Like almost like pedo bear.
It's exactly.
Now, the opening ceremonies were cool because they had like 60 projectors on the left and 6 projectors on the right, and then it made this stuff on the ice, and it just looked amazing. And they went basically from like all of Russia's history. From here to the Industrial Revolution to this.
McDonald's crashing their market.
Crazy. And they showed the ballet, but it was really cool.
That's right around the time that the snowflake didn't turn into the ring, right?
the last didn't know.
Well, during the closing ceremonies, they actually did something.
Yeah, they did.
They made fun of it.
Yeah, they made fun of it. Yeah.
They had a bunch of, like, I guess there was dancers or something like that did the snowflake
and
on the ice, and they didn't do the last one until like the very last minute. Yeah. So,
what was it? Did you see that thing?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, okay, they had these lights that start off as snowflakes that would open up into the rings, and for all the Olympic rings, and they started opening them, and then the last one was just an asterisk.
It got stuck.
Made a lot of
and some people made memes of it with like an asterisk at the bottom that says indicates country. Sorry, indicates continent, because that's what they stand for, is continents. And it was like, I think it was like asterisk indicates continent. and it was this huge debacle.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one of those things where there's always technical difficulties at Olympics or any type of massive thing like that. It's just when you have like, what was it? What they have? The stalls that had like 2 toilets in 1 stall.
Yeah.
So you got a poop partner.
I think what it was is just they didn't have the infrastructure.
It was
just a cherry on the top because you had the Super Bowl with the Coke commercial that apparently made people that aren't normal mad.
And then they have
the Olympics in a country that doesn't like us, and then you have the thing don't open.
Yeah.
So it was just
The government has issues. The people not.
Well, the government. Yeah. The government.
Yeah. So, but either way, I mean, I can't really bash them too much. It's a lot of funny shit.
No, I'm not bashing anything.
It's fun to poke fun at it.
Yeah.
But everything has, it's like Jurassic Park. I mean, look what happened to that, you know? Yeah. Disney World didn't work. I mean, they quoted that one. It didn't work when it opened. So, but of course, you know, if the ice rink closed down, the Russian skaters didn't eat the tourists. Or did they? Or did they?
They came back from like 14th to win the medal count.
Which, yeah.
Which was cool.
I think it was all the chemicals they sprayed on the snow, though.
Well, what's funny is his adult swam on their little bumps. Rather than sewing stuff from... showing stuff from Sochi, they're showing the Goodwill Games from like 1983, which was in Russia. So they have like the grandiose like big parade coming out with the cowboys on horseback and the line dancers and stuff. And it's like, this is how they did it right versus what they're doing now. Yeah. You know,
so. At least they didn't have any celebrations at that lake. That was like the most toxic place in the world.
Yeah.
But when Russia lost, I was like, oh, they're gonna. Let all those athletes go to the lake.
They're going
to
kick everybody out.
They're going to go to the lake for a moment.
Didn't our hockey team beat their hockey team?
Yeah. But then their hockey team lost, then our hockey team just got smoked horribly. Mm, yeah. So. Yeah. But Canada did a clean sweep.
Yeah. Then well, they always do. So.
Yeah. They're the new Russia of hockey.
Yeah.
If that's the only
thing. That's the only thing they can do is
miracle
sports.
Miracle 2 when USA beats Canada in hockey.
You saw the loser keeps Bieber.
Yeah.
Sign.
That sucks.
That's funny. Apparently we kept him.
Yeah. Well, there was a luge guy who got locked in his bathroom that had to break through the door.
Oh, yeah.
In his hotel room. He got locked in the bathroom and he actually had to rip the door open so he could crawl out of it. Yep. He took a picture of it. It's just he just punched holes through this fucking door. It was pretty epic, dude. Let me see if I can find a picture because it's pretty damn funny.
There was one story from the beginning of that there was no lobby. No check-in. He had to actually go to somebody's door, knock on the door, and it was the dude's apartment.
Yeah.
And he had to check in at the apartment.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Crazy. So
there was one of the bobsledders, not one of ours, I don't remember what country it was, but he was ex-military and ended up having to kick in the door of his teammate's room because it would not open.
Random water just, leaks from the ceiling, shit like that.
They just rushed.
They just got things put up as fast as possible.
They were laying bricks down on the freaking, you know, on the pavers going up to the place. The day before. So
it's amazing planning.
Right?
Yeah, here you go. I drove it.
Nice.
Yeah, he fucking went through that fucking balsa wood door. Bam.
Yeah.
It's just...
Well, that is the one country where instead of like paving or clearing the snow off the streets, they just lay asphalt over the top of the snow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well... You realize it was colder here.
There's a guy.
For most of the Winter Olympics, it was colder here in Oklahoma than it was over there.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. That's why they couldn't
said it was the warmest Winter Olympics in history.
Yeah, they couldn't keep snow on the mountaintops.
They were actually taking snow from other parts of the mountains, dumping it on the Olympic areas, and using chemicals
to keep it frozen.
To try to keep it frozen.
There's no flipper, baby.
The half pipe events, half pipe and super pipe, were all slush.
Yeah,
there were snowboarders breaking bones, dislocating joints.
Yeah,
I mean,
people were saying we're not going to compete. We're done.
Yeah,
we've trained for 4 years. We get here and it's a slush pipe. Screw that.
That's fucked up.
This is Russia. It's like our athletes go on this all the time. You're a bunch of pussies.
No, they don't.
I know. I'm just coming up with the Russian excuse.
Slush is more like what you expect our people train in, you know, most of the year. Jeez,
it was a joke.
Yeah.
Just a bazinga.
It was horrible.
You will get this. Hold on. You get this.
You won't get this. This joke I'm showing you. You won't get
this. No, you won't get this. And then Rusty will be sad that he made fun of it because I'm not going to show it to him.
What is it?
What is that?
What is it?
Phoenix.
Yeah, but what game is it?
Oh, it's Dota.
Dota 2.
Let me see.
Oh no! You remember part of it?
Fuck you! Then.
You saw what it was called, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. So it's funny. So you'll see it in a second. I don't even want. I don't even play
like
Dota 2.
Point out the funny part,
but it's hilarious.
Of a joke.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
Wait for it. Yeah. Wait for it. Uh huh.
Okay. So
it's right. A long setup here, Earl.
I know, right?
It's just a video. It's just a video.
Why don't I watch this on break?
Wait. Yeah. Yeah. Watch it on break. So what have you been doing, Justin?
So, what I have been doing, because I was out, played Fable Anniversary.
Nice.
And beat it.
Nice.
I really like that game still.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to... I mean, if you've played Fable, you know what's going on. But it has the Lost Chapters added into it. Took me about 26, 27 hours to beat it. It actually looks better than Fable 2. I thought, oh, I'm going to get on a Fable kick, and I'm going to go ahead and play Fable 2. Jumped into Fable 2 and I was like, man, this is definitely first generation Xbox material. Mm-hmm. It does not translate. Like, it looked great when I borrowed that old TV of yours way back when I played it the first time. Mm-hmm. It looks like a fucking GameCube game to me right now. I can't play it. Like, there's too much.
Don't say GameCube, because Resident Evil Zero and remakes had good. I'd say like.
Play
PlayStation.
It, and you'll see what I mean. It's like a PS2 game.
Okay, that's better, yeah.
It looks dated now. Yeah. It's not the same. And I had a hard time, not their text, but just knowing. I don't know. I guess I'm just way too spoiled, and I've been playing everything in 1080p now for several years. Yeah. It's hard to go back to that. So, I like classic games, but like going to something. I know it's not classic, but it's 2008. 6 years down the road, like graphics have improved on that system. And it's just, it was too hard for me to play, so I put it down. In favor of some other things. So then I loaned it to my girlfriend. She's a huge Fable fan. Let her play that. It's smart glass compatible, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Got through some Castlevania.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to beat it before Lords of Shadow 2 came out, but I knew that wasn't happening, so I jumped back into Skyrim. Mm-hmm. Played some stuff I'd never played before, which is always fun. I mean, that game is fucking endless.
And I won't do that.
But it's one of those things, like, I started doing a lot of the Daedra quests. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like the Cthulhu guy.
I
can't remember what he is. Obliterator of Worlds, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it gives you that book of the skill ups. I'd never done that before, and then I also did that Cannibal quest.
There's actually a way to use that book to, they probably patched it now, but you could actually fuck with it. Remember, if it's on a bookshelf, and you access it through a bookshelf and open it, you can use it and then return it back to your bookshelf. So therefore, it's not in your inventory. Then you just keep doing that over and over again for, like, I think it was, like, it would give you...
It gives you, like, 8 skill points.
Yeah, but I think it would actually... You could use it over and over again for, like, 10 levels, I think, or something like that. There's a way to fuck with it, so...
Yeah, I didn't want to really chintz it too hard, but...
Yeah.
Played that, and obviously I'm playing with a shitload of mods. I was playing with a monster mod for a while, and then it just started crashing it out. It just added different textures to some of the Draugr, and then added in some extra stuff. So, like, added extra race and extra enemies into the dungeons, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it just doesn't work with the latest patch of Skyrim very well, and it would lock up and freeze up and just didn't work.
Yeah.
So I got a different creature mod. The different creature mod adds some lore-friendly creatures to the whole world, like some Cyclops. A Cyclops is just basically a modified troll.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there's some things like that. Makes the werewolves more werewolf-like, scarier. Adds some zombies to the Draugr. So it's Draugr mixed with, like, bloody skeletons, and then there's these ones called reanimating skeletons. So you kill them, and then, like, 2 minutes later, they all piece themselves back together. They even added custom animation to it, and they just grow back together and start fighting again.
Yeah, kind of like Dark Souls.
Yeah. Which I thought was really fucking cool. Yeah.
Nice.
And then I played through, was that Potemia Quest? You go to the Wolf Queen's Quiet Cave, and you stop the ritual. I'd always done that and stopped there because I never finished the Solitude quest line, and then I didn't know about going back into the catacombs to fight again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that one was reskinned, which was really cool. So I don't know. I mean, just Skyrim is Skyrim, and Skyrim is good. Every time I go back to it, it is like my go-to game right now.
Yeah,
I can always go back to that in between something else and just
it's like that girl last night, your girlfriend, where she's always just ready.
Oh,
hey!
Except, you know, I could just keep making it better.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's working in reverse logic right now.
But
yeah, I've got it running steady now, so
new paper bags.
I'm not
commenting because my girlfriend listens to the show, and I love her, and I'm not going to say anything to make her mad at me, or even if it's a joke, not going to say it. So. I wouldn't. Earl is a bad influence, honey. I'm so sorry.
She doesn't know me, but she hates me. That damn Earl.
Yeah, she hates you.
I hate him. Don't even let me see him.
When it comes to Skyrim, I mean, I don't like the idea of doing remakes for next gen consoles, but that one, no, I would pay another $60
After you've played it in 1080p, yeah. Some of the extra texture packs,
yeah,
and like there's that Jesus Swords, which I think is one of the best mods that you can get, just because, you know, you basically got like the 6 classes of weapons for every material essentially when you play vanilla, but like it adds unique weapons to the game, so there's actual uniques that there's actually steel weapons, like I got one called Dragon Sting, which is a unique weapon that I can modify with steel bars. That's actually better than my ebony weapons right now. Mm-hmm. So it's just cool little shit like that that just make that game endlessly replayable.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to keep playing it in between everything else because I enjoy it so much. Obviously, played Dota with Rusty. Won't go too far into that because we're doing it every Wednesday still.
Yes.
One of us will still be on. I won't probably this week just because I got a lot of game going on.
Don't say that.
I got a lot of game going on.
Don't say
you
that.
You just said don't say that, man.
We'll talk about it on the break.
That's
how
better.
Much game do you have going on?
A lot.
Oh, there we go.
All right.
I have. So, coming up, I haven't really played anything else because I got a lot on my plate for this coming week. Wasteland 2 is finally doing the $10 patch as of today. So, I'll be picking that up tonight. I got Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2. I'll be playing fucking Thief.
Yeah, I got that
too. And I also, I did play Earth Defense Force, the new one.
Yeah. How is that?
It's more Earth Defense Force if you like that game.
Does it look good?
I mean, it does. It looks pretty good. It really looks about the same.
How much is it?
It was $49.
$49? Okay.
Yeah, I need somebody to play with, though. I think
it's good. That noise?
We need to
play. Well, learn from Rusty. He learned how to play by himself a lot.
So anyways, that's pretty much all I got, Trent.
What the fuck was that noise? I heard this weird noise. Does somebody have like a little sad duck fart?
No.
Apparently it was
I'm
rusty.
About to if we don't have
like,
a break.
It was just
so.
Like... anyways.
Right. So,
if you're a little gay race car.
So, I say we come back and talk about some more stuff. Because it is getting late.
Some more stuff and stuff.
Some more stuff.
So,
more
we'll stuff. See you guys here in a few minutes.
Yep.
Stuff.
From the break. That was a long break.
Break. It sure was. Yes, it was, Earl. Yes, it was.
It's not even me.
It's close.
Yeah. Like your mom.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was about 10 decibels too low.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true. And a few octaves too low.
Your face is 10 decibels below.
Ooh. Fighting words there.
Wow.
Yeah, that's fucking
round
words.
Two.
Jason's been getting all high and up since I got here.
Getting a little salty there, aren't you, Earl?
You started it.
So, what I wanted to start off with is going to start off with the Facebook.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I got it up here.
So the question, what was the question last week, Jason?
He does. Trent's got it up.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so what we did was last week, we asked... what did you do with your B-Day weekend? Did you game it up or spend it with that special someone? We got a reply from Jamie. She says she gamed it up. Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
Seriously, though, me and my sweetie play games on the PS3.
That's cool.
Okay.
Sweet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go Jamie! Right,
then we had John from the Carousel say, wasn't that like 2 weeks ago? Yes, John, it was 2 weeks ago. It was actually not this weekend, but the weekend before, but our episode was the week after Valentine's Day. And then we read the questions that, you know, the replies the week after. So that's how we do it.
Our timeline's getting screwed up.
Make John mad. Way to alienate your fans.
Wow.
That's as bad as other people.
Let's see. But then again, time's...
It's
irrelevant.
I know.
So, anyways, then we have Steven.
Go Steven.
Kotleski.
Go
Kotleski.
Kotleski.
Kotleski. It's got a
Steven.
T. So, anyways.
Go Steven K.
All right.
There you go.
Steven Kott. He said, my wife and I played through TLOU, Left Behind, Best Way Anniversary, Valentine's Day. That's The Last of Us, Left Behind.
That's a pretty badass way to do that.
Yeah, I still need to play that one. All right, and then we had Scotticus Aurelius said he gamed it up. Not a thrilling choice necessarily, but yeah.
Go Scott.
He didn't say what he played, but I imagine it was a single-player game and very lonely, and his hand was probably very sprained and dry by the end of it.
Maybe he played the game Rusty plays.
I was going to say, we got a Twitter reply as well.
Rusty's game. It's like Ender's game, but you know, with a lot of sperm.
What is the Twitter response say, my friend?
Nymph tweeted us and said, I have a loving wife that understands my addiction. She had me all day and part of the night. The rest of it was spent with Warframe.
Aw, Warframe's a cool game.
So, another Warframer.
So you did some building in the bedroom, then building on the PC?
Nobody wants to play Warframe with me, so.
I've just been in a slump. John knows this too. Meh. He's on Warframe. I've been chatting with him on Steam while we've been doing the episode. So, but,
horrible.
So, for everybody else that wasn't here last week, what did you do, Rusty?
Rusty's game?
Oh, on Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was working the entire day.
With the ladies?
On the fucking
With the ladies?
I was working...
On what?
On the...
That was the...
That was the day that we were setting up the weekend. Or, setting up the weekend. Setting up the hall and the church for the wedding.
For the wedding? That's,
Yeah, pretty sucked.
Yeah. What about you, girl?
I do with my wife and kids.
Yeah, just hung out.
Pretty much blew ass.
And
I
worked
think,
the day and worked.
I think mine was sadder than actually playing video games by myself. So
I did a mixture. Trent was gone, so invited her over here.
And had a wild orgy.
I was gone.
Yeah,
what the fuck are you talking about?
No, you went to a hotel.
Yeah, I got a hotel for the weekend for the girlfriend and I, and we just unplugged from the internet and had fun. Went out and ate at Carino's, and then we did. I think we did Senor Tequila. We ordered in from Senor Tequila.
I didn't know you could order in from there.
Yeah, 7429. Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, so we
Wait, you gotta preface. Depending on where you're at, you may not be able to. It has to be off a certain zip code.
Yeah, well, actually, but for us, we did Senor Tequila. They actually, Meals on the Run, I think, or whatever it's called.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. When you order from them, depending on the zip code you're in.
Yeah, It's like Meals on the Run or something is the name of the parent company now. And 7429.
People may not
know. It's not that bad. No, it was like $40 for the food we got, and it came to like $53. So it's like a $13 delivery charge, but part of that's tip, which they charge a 10% flat tip. So it wasn't really. It's not that bad, really. No, and you can order from like all over the place, like Fat Daddy's Barbecue, which I do that at work with one of my developers. We get the Fat Daddy potatoes, which are awesome. It's just this giant potato stuff with like sausage and turkey and chicken and cheese and sour cream.
when he says giant, he's got his hands
This big,
watermelon size.
Yeah, it is. It is like laid out, just cut open. It's like this. It takes up a whole takeout box.
Nice.
Yeah, it's huge. It's like, go to Fat Daddy's and try it sometime. It's really amazing.
I was going to go to the ballet. Couldn't find tickets for it.
Oh.
I was trying to actually be real nice about it and take it to the ballet. That did save me some money, but then I found out I didn't have enough for that. Bought her a bunch of stuff. Made a lot of dinner. Made a lot of good dinner. I made lasagna. Which actually ended up being really well, doing really well with it. Well, the problem is the day after, so Sunday, she left, and then I just started feeling ill.
Yeah.
And then that's when I had, you know, fever 2014, which was a week long. Missed work, wanted to play games, couldn't play games, just too sick.
Yeah.
Which sucks. The only thing I did was catch up with the fucking Walking Dead.
Well, this whole past week, I was
feeling like a
sinus infection. This whole, like, he was sick with fever and flu or whatever, and I had a sinus infection. Starting the day I got back, Sunday night.
Yeah, that's when it happened to me. Yeah. It's like it hit me like a load of bricks. Man.
Yeah, it hit everybody. Like even people in my work were just fucking sinus because everything went up to like 70 degrees.
Yeah, it's like my boss called me. He's like, "So you gonna make it in?" I was like, "What do you think, man?" Like I got a fever 103. He's like, "I'll see you later."
Yeah.
So.
It's like I had the worst like ocular headaches during the whole week. I have a minor one right now. It's not as bad as it has been, but it was just like. Like shooting pain through my right eye.
I kind of wish I'd have quit smoking because I had the opportunity. I didn't smoke for like 3 days and then I finally did. I was like, oh, I still like smoking. Dumbass.
Yeah.
But, you know, que sera, sera. So,
my father would be with me.
So, we'll have a new question here in a minute.
Yeah.
Get back to this. Aside from that, though, there's a lot of gaming news out there.
Yeah.
I'll say one, just kind of starting off. Chatting with John, me and him are big into the whole Wasteland thing. and both me and him didn't get the special edition that gave us access to beta early. Now they released the... There was an email that came out today from their Kickstarter campaign saying that we have access now for the $10 opt-in. Only problem is it has to clear the PayPal store first before I get the thing. So I'm letting you know that now because I just did it while we were on break. So I got to wait for PayPal to clear the payment, blah, 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 and then I'll get access, which is not going to be tonight. It'll be sometime while I'm playing Castlevania and or Thief and or Earth Defense Force, which kind of pisses me off.
Don't you have your, do you have your account linked with your PayPal?
No, I fucked up PayPal a long time ago with some speakers I was selling. So I don't have the same thing going on like I used to. Long story short, I just can't use PayPal anymore without paying $45 for some kind of charge. I can't remember.
Nice.
So, not messing with that. Anyways, so yeah, that's going on. Trent, you got any news?
Was it Harold Ramis passed away?
Yeah, it's big news.
At the age of 69.
I don't
so
want
So sad.
They have a tribute outside the Ghostbusters firehouse.
Yeah.
I was going to cross the streams, but I'm not going
to
now.
I will remember to never cross the streams. So, but now for
you
those of you,
cross them though. Did
that? You shouldn't though.
You shouldn't though. But
as
you
Egon
can't.
Said, it would be very bad
unless you're fighting so, ghosts or you can't cross the streams.
Listen, you also look at a Twinkie. And
it's a seriously big Twinkie.
It's also is it?
Huh?
No one remembers that. Okay.
Yeah, this place should be condemned. that's still one of my favorite lines. Yeah, we'll take it. Anyway, what was it? For those of you who don't know the name, because you're young and you just don't remember, Harold Ramis was one of the driving forces behind, Ghostbusters, Caddyshack, sure. National Lampoon's Radio Show, as well as their movies, the good movies. Stripes, played Egon, Spangler. Wonderful writer. Yeah, he wrote the movies with Dan Aykroyd. He also wrote the script for the video game, Ghostbusters video game, with Dan Aykroyd.
And voiced it.
And voiced it as well. Yeah, he's a great American hero. So it's the greatest American hero. And he was also on Second City with a bunch of different people, like Bill Murray and all them. And John Belushi and all them. And then he was on SCTV, which is Second City Television, which was basically like Saturday Night Live, but like really funny, full of Canadian actors.
It used to be funny, not as funny anymore.
Saturday Night Live, But SCTV at least went out in its good days. So.
Right.
Yeah, but great, great show. Grew up watching that shit. Had some of the best stuff on there, like, what's his name? Martin Short and all that. But either way, great American icon, and now he's dead, unfortunately. So sad. So, they do a Ghostbusters 3.
So, how do you think that's going to affect the new Ghostbusters movie that they were supposed to be making?
They were supposed to be working. I don't know where Aykroyd and him were
Bill Murray wasn't
going to
be in it, was he?
No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. And Rick Moranis said he wasn't interested. But I know... At one point, Bill Murray was interested. I think he pulled out, and Dan Aykroyd was down for it. Harold Ramis was down for it, and what's his fucking name? The guy who played Winston. I always forget the actor's name. He was, I think, down for it as well. I think even Janine. I can't remember if they had Sigourney Weaver. I think she was down for it too. But either way, I don't know what's going to happen. They were supposed to pass the torch over to a younger generation, so they're probably just going to stick with that if they even do it. Or if they take the death of Harold Ramis, then we just shouldn't do it.
I would say just don't do it.
God spoke.
I would just say just keep it good like it was and not worry about it.
Yeah, don't want to do what they're going to do to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that's for sure.
No, that's still up in the air. We don't know what's going to happen with that. Come on.
Aliens, come on.
Come on, just let it be. All
right.
We won't know until we see
it. All right. So. If it's aliens, I'm going to disown everything.
Yeah, still. Either way, so Harold Ramis died. Big tragedy.
Sad.
So sad.
Feeling old right now.
I know. He was such a great... I'm going to have to do a Harold Ramis weekend.
Oh, yeah.
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 I'll probably do it this next weekend and do Stripes and Caddyshack.
Stripes is so
I'm
going to
do Ghostbusters 1 and 2.
Yeah, I'll do Ghostbusters 1. I don't know about 2.
Two is still pretty
good. Two is the weak one.
Still all right.
Yeah, it was okay. I still prefer 1.
Yeah, well, so, I didn't like the freaking.
No one steps on a church in my town. We came, we saw, we kicked it there. Dogs and cats living together, complete anarchy. Anyway, sorry. Bill Murray had the best lines in that entire fucking movie.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, it's true. This man is a dick.
A delicious analogy.
When someone asks you if you're a god, well, actually, you say yes.
Actually, somebody made a meme that showed Egon with a Twinkie. It said Egon, but not forgotten.
But that's it. Yes, that's it.
There it is.
Right yeah,
there.
The Twinkie.
It's a delicious analogy for paranormal activity.
Yes. It's like, imagine a Twinkie the size of New York, was it? Yeah. A Twinkie the size of New York, full of concentrated, like, just paranormal matter or something like that. And he goes, that's a big Twinkie. So, and then they come down there, goes, what's going on? I was like, you should hear about this Twinkie. Now, which is like, if you pay me, what was it? Goes like, if you guys pay me enough, I'll believe whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
Okay, the funniest part in part two, though, they're in the subway and they're doing the echoes.
Yeah.
And Winston comes up, you know, they're all getting their echoes back, and Winston goes like, hey! And he doesn't hear anything. She goes, Winston! Of course, the black guy. They have to pick on the black guy. Then he gets run over by a ghost train. Which was hilarious because his hair was all fucking back. So, that was good shit. Anyway, so yeah, Harold Ramis died. So sad.
Agreed.
He deserved at least 10 minutes of our time.
Right? I agree. Yes. That's just why I didn't interrupt you.
Yeah.
So, anybody else have any news?
I have one that you didn't like. That didn't get on the show because it posted right after the
show.
We
didn't
I read about that one.
You want to hold off on
that? I think it's not quite Harold Ramis worthy, but in the world of gaming, it's almost as big.
It's pretty big. We'll wait till the end.
Yeah. I know that there's a lot of people that like DayZ. The main guy in DayZ, Dean Rocket Hall, is going to step down as lead designer. And he's going to leave Bohemia Interactive, the company he founded that created DayZ, set up a New Zealand studio to work on another multiplayer game. He's essentially saying in the interview that I read that he feels like he's really good at getting stuff started up, but not very good at maintaining, so he's working on getting the people that have been involved helping him with it to maintain it and finalize development.
That's
while
cool.
He moves on to something else. But he's not... It's not to the point of something else that we will talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to at least kind of leave gracefully.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that'll be interesting. I really hope DayZ finalizes and finishes. I mean, it's close to done at this point. It's just they got a few bugs to iron out, to be honest with you. I kind of want to get more of the what's the point of this game kind of thing going on.
Yep.
So I know more about it. But yeah, I thought it was a fairly big story. I know right now that the install for Titanfall. It's going to be 40 gigs.
Yeah.
Which is kind of big.
Holy.
Yeah, it's huge.
Shit.
That's a.
It's like a 4-hour download, even on a high speed.
Oh, God.
So that's. We
that's
have
a
pretty.
Good thing I just got a.
Yeah.
Like 2 terabyte hard drive.
So, well, that's on Xbox One.
On Xbox One?
So who knows what it's going to be like on PC?
That's like, what? Is that like a quarter of the space on Xbox One?
Yeah.
Well, it's 500 gigs, so it's roughly one tenth.
Wow, jeez.
Yep.
Or 1/12 or something like that.
Yeah,
but yeah,
well,
that's fucking crazy.
That's a lot of space.
I'm anxiously awaiting that game because it...
But if you go by 50, it'll be 1/10.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what it's going to be when it's all said and done.
Right.
That's true. That's probably about 1/10.
Yeah.
I would love 1/10.
I'm getting it for PC, so it's probably going to be that plus some.
I want to see that new game Evolve.
Evolve, yeah, the Steam guys.
That looks
yeah.
amazing.
Well, the people that made Evolve are the people that made Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yeah,
they're
yeah.
just working in their own studio now.
That's so great.
I'm going to end up having
I'm going to be getting that.
Was that only on Steam?
No, it's actually going to be on consoles too.
So
far, I don't know.
The new gen!
We'll just have to figure out who the most people are getting it on. I'd like to get it on next gen because, you know, I dropped a lot of money on it. But
of course.
But if everyone's doing the computer, you might as well do it on the computer.
Who knows?
I'm going all PC this generation.
Here's something to chew on because I know some people are going to have some differing opinions on this. I'm just going to state what's going on.
I disagree.
Do it.
So
I disagree.
Right now there is a price cut that's going to happen in the UK. They're going to drop it on the Xbox One from £399 or from £429 to £399. Whereas the PlayStation 4 could be bought without a game for £349. So for £50 more, that'll include a major title, Titanfall.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for this right now is right now, either even though both are doing really well, right now PlayStation 4 is outselling Xbox One by around 5.3 million units to Xbox One's 3.1. So I think they're trying to come up with something creative to try to get around it in the UK. But that's the facts. I'll let you guys discuss as I get my drink.
Yeah.
You know why, why they're having to do that, though? Because Rooney signed a contract with Manchester United and we have 300,000 pounds a week. I'm just saying.
I think there's more to it than that.
Okay.
Wow.
That was my analogy. Pushed in. No. But, I mean, there's a lot of opinion going back and forth on this. And Jason and I have actually talked about this, you know, on the side multiple times.
At night next to each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
As we're stroking each other's scalps.
That's our pillow talk.
As we're holding each other. Crying.
Yeah. I don't want it's, I believe that, you know, that PlayStation had a better model from the, you know, from the get-go. Even though they were kind of a little backstabbish at the beginning. But, you know, Xbox doesn't have anything that a lot of people really want. I mean, unless you want...
I'll be honest with you. I'm going to weigh in on that because
I'm going to try to do this when you're done.
No, so. I know, but so yeah. Like thinking about it objectively as much as I can without bashing either system, I look back at the amount of hours I've spent gaming since both consoles have come out. I beat Dead Rising and I got most of the way through Assassin's Creed, and I'm one of the few people that's not a huge fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
It still didn't catch me. I was going to play through it this weekend and didn't. So, on both consoles, I have less than 40 hours of game time in. On Steam, I have 40 hours of game time in last week while I was sick. You know what I mean? That's kind of where I feel like because of what we do, I got the consoles early because I wanted to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But had I been a general consumer, I probably would have waited till after March or after July.
And that was the point I was going to get to.
There's just not enough out there, but... Like, even to justify the sales, I mean, people want to get the latest and greatest, but it's just, there's not a lot out there. I mean, you got, in my opinion, I feel like you got Rise and you got Dead Rising to play on Xbox One. And on PS4, I feel like you got fucking Outlast and Assassin's Creed or Don't Starve. Like, there's just nothing, not that those games are, like, shit by any means. It's just there's not enough to justify the price tag yet.
Well, it's like with Xbox, you have Forza, you have Assassin's Creed, which is already out on 360 anyways, but sticking with new gen, you've got Forza and you've got Dead Rising 3 and Rise.
I still think Forza's pretty subjective.
Forza, I actually enjoy the shit out of. Ghosts! So. I'm naming games that are only on...
Specific.
I know, I'm messing with you.
But Forza's actually fun as shit.
I wouldn't put it up there with Dead Rising.
Though. No, but I'm naming games that are just brand new. So I'm not ranking them as to what's good. Yeah. So I'm just
trying to... There's a lot of people that bash on Rise, though.
Which one? Yeah, Rise. Rise is one of those, it's 50-50.
Yeah.
Everyone I know who's played it loved the shit out of it, but I've read a lot of reviews where people said,
I've heard a lot of people just get into the whole thing about it being too cinematic, which is why I'm like, if it goes on sale, maybe I'll get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where those are just the games that came out there. With PlayStation 3, like you said, you've got Outlast, you've got Don't Starve, and you've got, what was it, Assassin's Creed, I think is what you said, or...
I think that Assassin's Creed version is the best version.
Yeah, but the statement you made is two of those are games that were made for PC that PlayStation 3 brought over. Their lineup is no argument. Their lineup was a little weak for launch because they just didn't have a whole lot.
Well, they didn't have Watch Dogs.
Yeah, they didn't have Watch Dogs, which caused me to cancel my pre-order. I'm still going to buy the system once Watch Dogs finally comes out because I'm getting it for PlayStation. But what you said about they made a better system, that's kind of a perceptive. It's one of those things where each system has a certain function, and they're designed to do different things.
I think the Xbox has it on the media center thing.
Yeah,
I got cut off before I made my point.
Well, let me finish your point for you. Okay, so I'm fucking with you.
Thank you.
No, the
point I was making is they had a better model in that when they sold.
Are
the
you talking
PlayStation
about marketing
4,
model?
No, when they sold the PlayStation 4, they basically said, we're going to make this feature available, which is the cloud gaming for previous gen games.
You got the Gaikai thing coming out.
Right. Well, with Xbox, they really didn't address that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you are a gamer and you're looking at what's available, my personal opinion is I would go out and buy the games, you know, buy the system that will allow me
at least access to the previous gen games mm-hmm. on that, rather than buying something that is current gen only and then focusing on entertainment.
Well, which, you have that mm-hmm. PlayStation Now coming out that's going to let you play all the older games.
That's what he's talking
right,
about.
That's what yeah. I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Through the yeah. Gaikai Network.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, if you were if you're entering into, you know, one versus the other, you're going to have mm-hmm. more games available with the PlayStation Network, and the releases that they've had out there, it's kind of iffy on both sides.
Yeah.
And of course, March is going to be the big thing. Xbox might take off with Titanfall. It might fall flat.
Mm. You know, it's after playing.
It's going to take off with Titanfall. Yeah. I can already say that.
There's also the whole thing where I'm like talking to people I know that even have Xbox One. Yeah. So I'm like, what are you getting on? I said, I've been playing on PC.
Well, right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. If you're going to get it on PC, you're going to get it on PC.
You think about, you know, the people that we know, that the tight-knit people that we talk to regularly that are fans of the show. Like, you know, you got a lot of people that are like, well, I mean, I already have a gaming PC rig.
Mm.
Why do I need to invest $499? Or even with a price cut, let's just say $415, $400.
Yeah.
You've already got something that's going to run it, you know?
Well, see, I've already decided which systems. I'm actually buying Titanfall on multiple systems, so I have to.
Well, I'm going to get it on one.
I have to get it on one. To play with a certain group of people, to play with a certain group of people, and then I have to get on PC to play with Scott, and he and I already decided we're going to play it together. So I have to balance those two. 360 comes last for me.
I'm probably not going to get it on 360.
If I pick it up on 360, it's going to be on sale. Yeah, it's just going to be a random buy. But
I'm going to pick it up on PC.
Yeah, but. With PlayStation, with what you're talking about is once again, it's one of those things where you're talking about playing older games on a newer system, so you're reinforcing the purchase of a new system based on older games when I already have a PlayStation 3, so why would I just get the Xbox? Sorry, get the PS4 just so I can have access to older games.
But
so it's one of those things where it's not, for me, it's not a valid argument. For you, if you don't have a PlayStation 3, it is.
But I took that from... If I'm entering into the market.
Yeah.
And he did say his opinion.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm just saying, and for me, it's not a valid argument for my side because I already have.
I think the bigger argument for me right now, and like determining what I'm going to get, like game wise for each system, like I'm getting exclusives on each, obviously, because I want to review them for the site.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's going to be some good exclusives coming out for each, you know, Watchdog and Titanfall, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But also the things, like you got Metal Gear Solid coming out, and like they haven't quite finalized a lot of the bugs with how the Xbox One programs for. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are having an easier time programming for PS4 now, whereas with, like, with fucking Metal Gear Solid, you have that running at 720p at 60 frames per second, where you have it running at 1080p at 60 frames a second on PS4. Mm-hmm. Like, there's things like that where if I'm going to get a game where one runs at a lower resolution versus the other... Like, especially when it's that big of a difference.
Yeah, well, there's always been I won't say always, but there has been games that have been released even for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 that had, you know, different graphical abilities. So,
well, it's like Metro. Metro had a lot of the effects taken off of
Witcher
PlayStation.
Witcher 2 was another one.
But the effects were still left, like certain lighting blooms and crap were left on the 360 because they could handle it as opposed to the PlayStation 3 couldn't. So,
but I'm just saying, just like in general, like when you got, like... Last generation, it was definitely easier to program on the 360, and I think we're coming up until they iron out some of the stuff with the software and how it computes things, where the Xbox One just right now is not the easier console to program for. So it's like some of these first-gen titles I may be getting on PS4, you know, when it comes out to multiple launch systems.
See, my biggest problem, though, is something you and I discussed last week, was that when I go through the forums and I'm looking at people talk back and forth, and you have your typical fanboys that come out from both sides... And they say, well, this system's flawed and fucked, or this system's flawed, and this is the better one, this is the better one. Truth is, there's no better system. They're both different sides of a coin. One is used for this, one's used for that. It's basically like an iTunes, like it's like an iPod versus a Zune. You know, they're both media players.
Right.
iPhone versus Android.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Yeah, it's basically that.
You want to be a hipster, you do not want to be a hipster.
Yeah, it's basically, take the social stigma away, but it's basically two things that are used for similar things, but they do it different ways.
One's open source, the other's not.
Yeah, one's open source, one's not. And when it comes to the consoles, they both function and do their job well. It just depends on what you're wanting to do. It's right. Like PlayStation 4 is strictly for gaming. Strictly for gaming. It's got the R5 RAM is straight, just one directional. It cannot pass information back and forth.
Right.
It's just for gaming. Xbox has bi-directional, so it can pass information back and forth. It can go one way and the other way, so it can actually do the thing where you have multiple apps open at once, like up to five or so, without it affecting the gameplay. And that's why they went with that. And a lot of people wondering why they went with the GDDR3 RAM versus 5, because they want to be able to do that. You can't do that with the 5. So they want to make a media hub. They
and I understand the media hub capturing thing. It's just, upload and all it's that just stuff, like, so. What do you use it for? Like, right now, I mean, I use my Xbox One primarily as a TV. And with the app thing, I mean, I barely use the apps. I mean, most of the time, if I'm going to get on my console, I want to play a game. Yeah.
But then again, it's like Trent and I have been saying over and over. These things are still too new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps losing sight of the fact that, look at back when PS3 and Xbox 360 both came out. It took a good year or a little bit longer. Well, yeah.
Well, 2 years. Assassin's Creed came out in BioShock, but they weren't 100% there.
But it still took a good 14 months or more before you really started seeing anything making those consoles worthwhile.
Well, with PlayStation, even in the last year, you had Halo 4 and you had The Last of Us, which, The Last of Us for PlayStation 3 was the best looking game on the console.
Well, you got Beyond Two Souls,
which that's another one that came out right after that. Yeah. But those two games pushed it to show you what you can do, and that was at the end of its fucking life.
Well, it's just like then, even on 360, you had GTA 5, which looks fucking phenomenal. Yeah, GTA 5
Halo 4, which looks really nice and clean and glossy. It's really a good looking Halo game. They took the grid out and tried to make it really just kind of whatever, and it looked great. And those were at the end of its life cycle, and that was. It's just like, really? The end of the life cycle after 8 fucking years, you finally got stuff out here that looks like this? Even Bioshock Infinite, you're like, what the fuck, you know? Mm-hmm. And that was 8 goddamn years. You're working with twice the power now. See what happens.
It's the same thing that happened, going from the transition from Xbox to Xbox 360. Yeah. The visual quality of the games didn't jump all that much at the very beginning.
No, it took time.
It took time. Developers and different engines that took advantage of all of those
things. And that's the thing is, it's
and
not
different
just
programming, different everything.
See, the thing is, there's no roadmap whenever they send you out a dev kit that tells you this is how you maximize your graphical performance versus your loading all that crap. You kind of have to find little tricks to be able to do it. The people who have found tricks like that would be stuff like Gearbox.
Right.
Take-Two Studios, id, even with Rage. Yeah. Coming up with these interesting ways to load the world around you, but have it be really immersive and load-friendly. Skyrim, fantastic way of utilizing the RAM. Sorry, using the memory and the graphics processing and all that stuff. Watch Dogs. It's going to have an interesting one because I think it was the last story I read was talking about how Xbox Live is actually going to handle the computational power for a lot of the NPCs in the game, so therefore it's going to have a much bigger city life, it's actually offloading the NPC characters' actions onto Xbox Live and just funneling into your game. So
it's cloud computing everything.
Yeah, it's cloud computing all these extra NPCs that are not going to be in the PlayStation version. So there's going to be less NPCs around or something like that. Or they're going to be more routine.
Yeah.
While this one's going to be a little bit more random. So that's interesting. And that's utilizing how the system's designed to make it work for the game better.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. So
I mean, going all the way back to, like, I went with entry level. Like, if I had neither of the systems and nothing beforehand, this is what I would be looking for. Personally, I have never owned a PlayStation 3. So I missed out on all of those games.
Yeah.
So the PlayStation 4 appeals to me because of the ability to be able to play those back games. Mm-hmm. That's a library of hundreds and hundreds of hours of games.
Well, it's like the Wii U has that over pretty much. I mean, the fact that they actually have a little bit of a better advantage than the fact that Wii games play on the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
Had there actually been a lot of good Wii games, then that would matter. But, right. You know, there's a handful of good Wii games, but I like the fact that I can plug them in and play them, and it works just fine. It actually works with the old controllers.
Yep.
That's functionality that PlayStation and Microsoft didn't bother with, that your controllers would work with it, your headsets would work with it. Right. You know, you could play old games on it because they don't like that. They like the idea of... That's my biggest piss off, is I have a pretty big Xbox library, and I hate the fact that if they start putting those out, same with PlayStation 3, I've always, you know, wondered, well, what's my credit here? I've owned this game for so long. What is Xbox going to do for what's played? I know PlayStation has their little plan that they've been talking about, but the details are still kind of down there. Same with Xbox.
It's a promise, but...
Yeah, Xbox has their thing, but the details are kind of scattered at the moment. So I'm still curious, because I don't like the idea of having to pay an additional just to get access to an old game. And that bothers me. So...
Yeah. Well,
did you start following me for real?
And it's like nice. It's like we said when they start talking about this stuff.
Right there.
With Microsoft, it's more understandable because you're going from an HD DVD drive to a Blu-ray drive. Obviously, you can't have your old library play on that new system. With PlayStation, though, there was no real reason.
Yeah, there was.
Not other than the architecture, there was no real reason.
It requires a different type of processor for it to play.
Yeah,
you know, so you can't. You know, those. It's. And I might be getting this wrong, but it's kind of like playing the really early PC games where they had the turbo button versus when they went to the newer style of processors. There wasn't a limiter. The old PlayStation games wouldn't have a limiter on it, so they wouldn't run right. I might be wrong, but that's why
they run too fast.
Right, so like that's why it's not backwards compatible, because they have to actually have a second processor in there for the PlayStation 3 games.
Yeah, well, it's just like with Wii U and Wii, they had to have a whole other operating system and
everything. Yeah, don't get me wrong, I didn't pull up the old Wii homepage.
Yeah.
Didn't research that, so if I'm wrong, then you can just ridicule me.
No, you're talking about is totally cool because totally right, because sometimes you'll play a really old PC game, and now that I have an i7 versus a single core processor, it's processing so much faster, so like your game runs in like 45 times speed.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had the original Magic the Gathering old PC game, on PC. So put that into my computer. It still runs. Only when I press the up button, it goes from the bottom to the bottom of the map to the top of the map like that.
Yeah.
I can't get anywhere.
That's true.
As for my opinion on the price cut for Titanfall,
the way I
kind of see it is, it is in the UK, that's fine, but the way I see it is, first off, the special edition of the Xbox that comes with Titanfall is nothing really special. It doesn't even come with a Titanfall controller from what I saw in the pictures.
Have you seen the Titanfall controller?
Yeah, I've heard of my budget already. Cool. Yeah, he's already got it. But from what I saw, it was just a regular black Xbox, black controller with the game. That's fucked up. Go ahead and throw in the goddamn controller. It's fucking cool. By the way, they're price cutting because, one, Titanfall's a big game for them. Huge game. They're trying to really promote it, get it out there, get the sales, because if Respawn does as good with this game as it did with Call of Duty, Medal of Honor, if they do good and they don't sell this one like they did before, they actually stick with Titanfall, that's a career game for them at that point. I mean, they can do so much with that.
Sure we hope to do.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm really sure. I'm really, really hoping they do. But it's basically a push to try and get the sales up for Titanfall. Which is great, which is fine, because I love the game. I've played it. It's fucking fantastic.
We haven't seen a sliver of everything.
We haven't even seen a sliver. I got to play on, I think, 3 maps. And they were... That wasn't even the final graphics or anything, and it was fucking phenomenal. So, the fluidity of the game is so fucking amazing. I can't go into it, but it's everything they promised, and I'm so happy with it because it is fantastic. I can't wait
for that game either. I wasn't really... I think that all of the sales numbers stuff is... I mean, I understand that they're...
Way too premature.
They're doing that, but it's premature because, this next month that's coming up,
mm-hmm.
that's really going to set the tone for what the sales numbers really mean.
tax season just happened. True. So people got their tax. People are still getting their tax
returns back
right
now.
Huh?
Second Christmas.
For yeah, some basically people. Second Christmas. Yeah. And I mean,
money.
I already had an Xbox, and I'm still waiting for Watch Dogs, so I went and got a new laptop. You know, I bought my girlfriend a laptop for Valentine's and her birthday. And I did some other stuff, you know. and that was my Christmas for myself, was that, because I really didn't. I just bought a couple games for myself. This was my Christmas for me. So, but other people are out buying systems and all that crap. And for me, it doesn't really have to do with the sales. It has to do with the actual product that comes through. And the games, even on both consoles, the games are weak right now. Yeah. I mean, I have Battlefield 4 and I have Dead Rising 3 on Xbox One. That's all I have on Xbox One. I played Forza with a friend of mine on his, and it was fucking fun as shit. And I played that for like 3 goddamn hours and loved it. PlayStation 4, they've got Assassin's Creed and a handful of other things, but nothing that really... I actually debated on buying one the other weekend, but I looked at the games and I was like, not interested right now.
Right.
So, cause I thought maybe there's something I missed.
Yep.
Maybe there's something at least. And I was like, no. So
it took me 2 years to buy my 360.
But I don't call it a bad system.
Right.
It's just the lineup wasn't appealing to me because they knocked Watch Dogs off. It's still an appealing system to me once Watch Dogs is back on the table.
Right.
So...
Well, I know that one thing. There's a big reason I got Thief for it.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually going to do something because it's mostly going to be a stealth game.
Yeah.
And they have the big fucking annoying light on the controller. One of the things they're going to do is actually dim the light when you're in shadows.
Nice.
And then when you're not in shadows, it's actually going to light up so you know that you're not, like, hidden anymore.
So, yeah, that's kind of handy. So that light always annoys
the shadow. Well, like something just visual. Like, you don't have to look and see where you're at. You're just like, oh, it's brighter in here.
Well, it's kind of like the light indicator that's on the screen when you're playing Splinter Cell. Yeah. It's like it goes white when you know you're in the dark when you're in dark over.
Well, speaking of that, I actually beat that.
Yeah, actually, I reinstalled it. I hate Steam sometimes. My fucking save game's missing.
Oh.
It did not bring it over the cloud. And I went and I looked and said, yeah, it has a problem with that. Go and check in this folder. I did, and it said that it was from this time. And I was like, oh, okay. There it is. I put it where it's supposed to be. Still won't load up.
I spent a lot of hours in that.
So I got to I spent about 20-some-odd hours, so I got to figure out a way to load that file in so I can have all my unlocks back because I was wanting to play some multiplayer with you.
I really wish I'd have played that.
I was wanting to play some multiplayer with you. But, you know.
We tried telling you, dude.
Yeah, it's a great
game. I had other things going on. You know
good
how it
game.
Goes.
It's fun, man.
Might have even made it. I think I'd have made it in my top 10, maybe top 5.
Made
in
mine.
It's good.
Yeah,
did
it's
you still
damn
have
good.
That?
Huh?
Did you buy that or did you rent that?
No, I rented it. I need to buy it again.
Dude, buy it on Steam. It's on sale right now for UBs. We, I think they're still doing the UB.
I'm
going to
be playing
week,
Thief, so you can use Steam Family Sharing.
I think they're still doing UB Week. I'm not
look
sure.
Look at that. You got
no, there's something that I was going to do while you were doing Thief. I was going to go in and Steam Family Share my way through Wolf Among Us.
He was going to mooch off.
That game's
good,
too.
I like how Rusty's that friend that's like, well, I'll just piggyback off.
I'd say you and Matt both. That's why I finally just bought him. I mean, aside from being a cool Christmas gift, I bought him Borderlands 2. It's like, all right, here you go.
No, it's back up to full price now, $59.99. Yeah, they were doing a sale last week for Ubi stuff. I think it was down to like $30 or $35.
Oh yeah, I got even more things to play because they're doing a big update on 7 Days to Die. So I'm going to wipe the server again and start over.
I'll tell you this, man. $60, it's worth it.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
$69 for the special edition.
I'm a student.
I'd
say it's...
For sandbox games, 7 Days to Die is worth it. I've got Carousel John's playing it right now. I got me playing it. A guy named Travis. I got a guy named Peters that plays it with me. Jake off Steam plays it with me now.
Did you guys record that? I think I was watching somebody's Twitch.
No, I don't think we're. I still gotta get I need to get the Twitch channel going.
Oh, okay. So I was watching gameplay for that. Yeah,
it's addictive once you start playing it with friends.
That's the problem. I'm.
He's one of those. He's like, it's gotta look pretty.
No, it's.
No, they're actually getting ready to update the graphics on it, too.
I resent that.
No, I don't want to play it because it looks like I'm joking. No.
But
I got a brown bag. It's a brown bag game.
Brown bag.
It's my favorite indie game of the year so far.
For now on, can we refer to games that don't look pretty but are fun? Can we call them brown bag games?
Yeah.
Can I make a section on
brown
the website called
brown bag
games? And put a picture of a brown bag with like pigtails and a smiley face?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, no. I don't know if I'd get into it. Then again, it's a stretch for me to get into any crafting games. So, you know,
did you play any Starman?
Well, I have not, because I was given it some time to, you know, to iron out some of the kinks.
They're doing like almost daily updates now.
Right.
Because it sold a million copies on Steam, so now...
Now they're getting...
Now they're like, oh, we have funding, we better start getting this shit going.
Exactly. I was waiting for them to iron some of that stuff out. You know, the only really big crafting game that I've gotten into was Terraria. I didn't even touch Minecraft.
That game's pretty good.
I never touched Minecraft. You know, that's just me.
I never touched Minecraft.
I'm gonna move this along because we're running a little bit late.
Right.
Yeah. Earl's getting sleepy. No, I want a game.
He's asleep.
Not asleep. I'm sitting here listening to everything.
Okay.
So we did have one last real big story before we jump into our question.
Just recap it. Make it quick.
Hit it.
Oh no, it's not even.
No, this is not gonna be quick. Really.
So Rusty, lay it on us. Oh, this happened.
All right. You know that studio that makes BioShock. Irrational Games, yeah, they decided that they're going to shut down.
No, they already have, pretty much.
Well, they have, but Irrational Games, BioShock creator Ken Levine said that he was going to plan to move on to smaller narrative-heavy games that will be released digitally. So he's shutting down Irrational Games, which basically made BioShock 2 and BioShock Infinite.
Despite what he says, that kind of made Ken Levine.
Yeah. Well, it's also one of those things where, you know, somebody else pointed this out, that there was the BioShock Vita game that they were talking about.
It's never going to come out.
Yeah, and they're like, where's that now? And of course, who has BioShock now? It's 2K.
Right.
Has BioShock now. They're going to take it over and see what they can do with it. But, I mean, I think it's funny because it's like I brought up a story the other week where Rod Ferguson from Irrational. He was from Epic Games and he came into Irrational Games to help finish BioShock Infinite, and he's actually the reason why it got delayed a little bit. Because mm-hmm. He said it wasn't quite there. And he convinced Ken Levine to hold off and do a few things, and it came out as an Epic game. Great, great fucking game. And then as soon as he got done, like Mary Poppins, he left.
Yeah.
He left, and nobody knew. He didn't even know where he's going. He's like, it's on to greater things. What you going on? He's like, I have no idea yet. I'm out of work. And then he got hired.
Patrick Harris off of Harold and Kumar 1, he's like, where are you going? Where the road takes me.
Wherever the road takes me. And, of course, that road led to Microsoft, who actually hired him to come into Black Tusk Studios, who's now taking over the Gears of War games, so kind of right back around. To that, and so now he's going to be...
He's got a pretty good resume.
Yeah, well, he came in as a game director for BioShock Infinite, and now he's coming in as, I think, lead director for the Gears of War franchises to continue on, or something like that, at Black Tusk Studios, which is a very nice... list of developers in there. It's a posh studio that Microsoft has put together. I'll give them that. So he's gone. I mean, he left Ken Levine and said, okay, here's your beautiful game. And it was a beautiful game, and now Ken Levine wants to go. And the big controversy, you know, it's not so much what Ken Levine's going to do.
Right.
Because
it's what's going to happen
to the baby.
It's his 15 people that he brought with him versus the 200 people that he just got rid of.
Yeah.
Well, it's that. Pretty hard.
It's that, but it's also, well, those people sat on one of the greatest games of the last year.
Yeah.
They're going to find work elsewhere, but
I know, but it's still one of the. I don't know everything that happened with that, but it's.
Well,
from almost every angle, it feels shady, either by 2K or...
Well...
There's got to be something going on.
The way that he, you know, the way he explained it, when he started off BioShock, it was to, you know, to pay homage to System Shock. It was, you know, the spiritual successor for that game. And it started out small, and then it started getting big.
System Shock plus the art style of Fallout 3 is what it was.
And then it started getting bigger and bigger, and when it got to BioShock Infinite, there was so much pressure to make such a great game, and they wanted to do so many things with it that they ended up having to slash a bunch of the features off of that game just to be able to make it. You know, so it got too big of a baby for him.
Well, I remember
he just wants to go smaller and focus smaller.
But I remember that you were supposed to be able to begin combining your plasmids or tox, whatever, together to where you could take, say, your ice and your whirlwind and create a hailstorm of snow of ice that would pick people up and slam with ice blocks and stuff. And in the middle of that, pull out lightning and start electrocuting them. that feature did not make it in, the ability to combine that that's detailed, you know, it, and also to be able to use Elizabeth. She was supposed to be able to, if you use something, you could give her a command where she could use something of hers. So if you throw a whirlwind and you don't want to equip lightning, she would take care of it for you and electrocute them.
Yeah, which never ever happened.
Yeah, which was cool. What they did,
like,
with
I don't want to slam Infinite because I think Infinite's a good game. I don't want to be one of those guys like, man, Bioshock sucks now. Because it's a really fucking good
but,
game.
But what they did with her in the end worked just fine, where she could phase shift stuff in and out. That was pretty cool in itself.
I know, but just like kind of rotating it back around, like... I still think that story's just weird. Like,
it was a shock when I looked at it. I was like,
so you left a $500 million franchise to make indie games?
Well, it's not like he's it's
him and fucking Cliffy B now are both doing the same things. Like Cliffy B's got like 14 Ferraris. And he's like, I'm gonna make indie games now.
The mobile market.
Well, it's like I said, it's not like he's hurting financially, but at the same time, maybe it had to do with control. Maybe he was having some issues with actually getting his vision of what he wanted through.
That was big.
So he decided, okay, I'm going to go somewhere where they can't, where somebody can't regulate. I don't know if that's the case. I could see it being the case. I've heard people bitch about it.
I just want to see where the story goes. I still think it's rather weird. Just be like, I don't know if it's necessarily, I'm just like, I'm Kim Levine. I can do whatever I want.
When the story broke, I looked at three different places if I can find info on it. And really the...
It was just the same quote over and over again.
It was the same thing, So...
I want to make indie games. I want to make games, small development cycle, or a small development team.
Yeah.
With big story.
I can understand, you know, if you're a developer and that's where your passion is having small, really, you know, story-driven games.
I think the crappier thing is 2K laying off that whole studio, and they still have the franchise, but they don't have the people, but they kept Ken Levine and his team of 15 elite...
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where
it's like usually when you have a franchise, usually you keep the people who've been doing the franchise, right? And then instead of taking the people who make the franchise and have them continue on the franchise, now they're just doing their own thing and now they're going to invite a bunch of people that haven't worked on the franchise into it.
I gotta look at it this way at the same time.
They're gonna Call of Duty it?
When I'm looking at when I look at something like literature, like you have somebody like Frank Herbert who wrote Dune. He got to a point where he was like, okay, I'm done with this. I want to end this shit, but the publisher goes, no, it's so popular, we need more books. So he wrote Chapter House of Doom where he blew up the entire goddamn planet. Said, that was great, now give us three more. He's like, I blew the fucking planet up. How the fuck can I continue this? And they said, you're a writer, figure it out. So he wrote more books and he just started destroying the storyline more and more, trying to just give up to where they'd stop doing it, but it was fucking Frank Herbert. Then he died. The story ended until his son.
Well, it's kind of like the whole Robert Jordan thing. I mean, his fucking son took over.
Yeah, exactly. And his son's books, House Atreides, House Harkonnen, all those aren't that bad. But it's one of those things where you got these people who have worked on something for so long, and they've BioShock Infinite, three games, pretty good run for a game that one and two had great stories, and they were pretty good. BioShock 3, the best fucking story.
Well, two wasn't even done by.
No, that's why I didn't count it. So, but it was.
I like how they went so far in three or in Infinite to just completely ignore it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Well, they wrote it off as another tangent.
It's like
so,
a spinoff series.
Yeah, but BioShock Infinite was just so intricately put together. I mean, this is the apex. This is the height. So, I mean, what would we have expected from a BioShock 4 for Ken Levine? Really?
So, I wonder if part of this is influence, and maybe I can turn this into this week's question. You guys can tell me what it is. So, you got people that are big into the role playing games, like Brian Fargo, who does the Kickstarter thing, and then you have Tim Schafer, who does, you know, it's not Telltale. What the fuck is his name of his company? Tim Schafer.
Not Double Fine.
Double Fine.
Is it Double Fine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, quitting major companies to work at Double Fine. You wonder if, like, him and Cliffy B, like, Ken Levine and Cliffy B look at that model and, like, these guys are doing what they want. Maybe we'll do that.
Yeah.
And it could be one of those things, too, because I think Brian Fargo doing his own thing now, even though I'm irritated that the game has not come out because I want to play it so bad, like, unless it just fucking flops, like, I'm such a fan of old Brian Fargo games, like, I am completely on board for anything he does.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You know, it's the same thing, you know, for the most part, Tim Schafer does a pretty good job of that.
Yeah.
Or the guys that split off from BioWare to do the Banner Saga.
Yeah.
Like, they made some games that aren't working on, like, a PS4 or on a top-gen PC, but it's like, something completely different. I kind of feel like this will be the year where we get a lot of these projects that are coming up.
Yeah.
That's going to actually be some good stuff that aren't necessarily running on an Xbox One or a PS4.
Yeah, but even the guys from Bethesda who went off and did the revamp of Baldur's Gate. Yeah, they brought back this whole series that, you know, all they did was say... Was that Bethesda? It was an offshoot of guys from Bethesda, and...
I can't remember that name of that company, but they do a bunch of, like, revamps. They did MDK2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful idea, because it's bringing back these great games. I love it. But, I wish I did do 2000.
But, you know, if you look at everything Levine's done in the past, up until the BioShock series...
What has he done before BioShock? I don't remember.
Before BioShock, he had Thief.
Did he work on Thief?
The Dark Project, System Shock 2, Freedom Force, Tribes Vengeance, Freedom Force, SWAT 4. Look back at all these. One, they were... Compared to the BioShock series, were smaller projects.
Well, let's say he was writer on two of those, but the only one where he was really doing a lot was System Shock 2.
Yeah.
And then BioShock.
And Thief, the Dark Project, he was initial design and story concepts.
Yeah. But the Dark Project, even then, that happened back when Thief was still relatively...
Well, that was one of the bigger... That wasn't Gold Edition. That was the Dark Project. That was one of the good ones.
Yeah, but Thief was still relatively small as far as popularity then.
Because it was PC only.
System Shock 2 was a... You know, it was a smaller project to do a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that huge. All these other games I listed weren't big games. And I think... That lends to the idea of the control thing, because he had a whole lot more control in these other games. The bigger a series gets, like BioShock, the less control you have. Yeah.
Well, the studios, they tend to, they get too big to a point where they end up crumbling from the inside anyway. So instead of, you know, letting the studio crumble, trying to, you know, hammer out a BioShock 4, which they were going to be hard pressed to do anyway.
Well, that's what I was saying. What can you really expect from Ken Levine for BioShock 4 after Infinite?
That would be the death of, you know, a studio from the inside. So he's like, okay, well, we got to the top. We're gonna cut this right here. We had our problems with BioShock Infinite. We learned from those situations. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go do this thing now.
Yeah, but I mean, the real question is something that we don't know the answer to, which is how much of a dick is 2K Entertainment on, you know, Irrational Games and the development process? You know, how much shit do they really give them when they're trying to make stuff? Are they iron-fisted bullcrap like EA, where you have to have this, you have to have this now, we have to have this in every game that comes out? Was he trying to escape that, or was it just a choice where he's like, well, you know, I made my money, I'm going to go ahead and go off and do this now.
So, and you guys can tell me what you think about this. I've kind of formulated the question in my head as we've been talking about it. As we see a lot more of these new releases, are you guys more excited about indie game development this year and where these kind of creators are going with stuff versus the major AAA games?
Yeah.
It's about even for me. There's a lot of... AAA titles I'm looking forward to.
I think it's looking a lot for of indie stuff. Originality and concept.
Yeah.
Like I said, Banner Saga was something that's a mixture of a ton of genres that just ended up really catching my fancy this year.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that and 7 Days to Die, which is again a complete montage of like 50, you know, 5 or 6 genres melted into one game that just seems to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. How do you guys feel about that question?
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jason?
I think it's a good question. The thing is that gaming's reached the point like Hollywood did, you know, a few years ago. It's reached that point that Hollywood was at a few years ago, where your truly original thought is so limited because you've almost done everything.
Like, yeah, we don't have a whole lot of new genres of games coming out.
And speaking of that, there's not really much more you can do to really expand it, except with new stuff like Oculus Rift. But even then, that's not going to expand it much. So,
I'm not ready for Oculus Rift, to be honest with you.
Nope, neither am I.
I wear glasses, that's why.
Right. So, I mean, there's just not that much more room, you know?
Say, personally, I'm a little bit more excited about the indie stuff. Mostly because I'm going to be playing, I forgot again, Dragonfall from, not Shadowfall, Shadowrun Returns.
Shadowrun Returns.
Yeah, Dragonfall comes out tonight too.
Yeah.
Crap. You know. So money, that's what I need.
I don't know, Earl, what do you think?
Like I said, I mean, if why produce a game just to produce it if it ain't going to, like, why would you do a BioShock 4? If it's just
for the simple fact. Well, and I'm not even just getting at that. I'm talking about just in general this year and maybe going forward. Are you more? Do you find yourself more excited for some of the indie stuff?
Or well, like I said, with the way my thing set up is I mean, it's all going to depend on is it kid friendly and stuff like that. I mean,
if it's not kid friendly,
I'm gonna have to play it like at 1 a.m. Yeah. I ain't got time for that.
Indie games.
Nobody's got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Kid-friendly falls into the indie game.
Yeah, right. Like I said, it'd be more of indie. But again, my situation's different than other people. So yeah, I mean, indie, if that's what it's going to be like, all the way.
Don't start.
For me, it's one of the things where I look at the AAA tops and we have Alien Isolation coming out, which I've seen more of now.
Yeah.
Other than that quick trailer, I went and researched and found some stuff.
Well,
and
I was just like, oh my God.
I can't go out and get Mad Max, what I really want to play, and that bring game, it home and be great. Like, kids, gather around TV, watch Daddy run over guy's head. I can't do that.
Yeah.
So,
shit, I mean, that comes out in like 2 months, and you got Wolfenstein coming out in 2 months.
Yeah, I can't play Wolfenstein.
Actually, what's funny is I was actually getting ready to pre-order Wolfenstein because it said pre-order Wolfenstein and you get access, early access to Doom 4 beta. And I was like, holy fuck, pay. Yeah. And I was like, looking at it, it's like, oh, wait. We will send you blah, 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 and you will be invited to the beta when it happens.
Oh,
so they don't tell you when it's going to happen.
Unsubscribe.
So I was just like, no, I'll wait.
Right Bethesda.
Because I went and did some more research, and they were like, and they were just like, yeah, Doom 4 production is being plagued by serious issues right now. So I was like, okay.
I'm not, never mind.
Yeah, I'm not gonna fuck with that.
But it's like that girl that's really hot. Then you have some friend. They're like, yeah, she's got like a crazy head. You're like, ooh, never mind on that.
Okay.
Rusty, what about weigh in on it?
Well, I've got a few AAA games that I'm looking forward to, just because they've been, you know, they've been
Witcher,
and then yes, Witcher for sure. You know, Titanfall, but I'm going to get that for PC. So you know, I'm looking at it from a PC standpoint. I'm going to end up having more time to play the indie games, the smaller games, the ones that's going to keep my attention or have a play, you know, a play session that's maybe anywhere between like a half an hour to 2 hours.
Like long. Rambo, the video game.
Rambo. Wow. But those are the games that capture my attention for now. I mean, that's the style of game that I've kind of gotten used to over the past 6 months or so. You know, something that I can...
ADD games.
Yes, so. Well, kind of. But, I mean...
Shadowrun.
Well, yeah. That one took a little bit longer than than that though, because
get that typewriter game.
Certain points.
Get that typewriter game. It's like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and it's fun as shit. That typewriter game.
Oh, okay.
It's like 2 hours long, and it is fun as hell.
See,
so, like I almost wanted to buy Oh My God Zombies, but now I got like five games to play this week.
Oh, right. Yeah. You know, but me being a student, money's tight. You know, these games are $5.
He needs you to get all this on Steam.
And then I hit up their Midweek Madness. That's what I did last week. I spent like $20 and got like 7 games, which I've been playing. So, actually, I spent about $40 in the end, and I got, I think, actually 12 games. So.
I was really, really tempted to buy into Might and Magic 10 Legacy.
No, just play Legend of Grimrock.
That's a good game. Pencil paper mode on it. You actually have to draw your own maps.
Right.
Yeah.
No, Legend of Grimrock. The way that I looked at it, it was basically the same thing.
It plays exactly the same.
So,
yeah.
So I said, I'm just going to save my money. And if I wanted to play Mandate of Heaven, which is the real reason why I wanted to buy it anyway, I'll just go to Good Old Games.
So I think I'm going to try to wrap this up.
Yes.
It sounds like a great idea.
So with that, I'll suss that out into a shorter form of that question.
Trapper Keeper.
You know, are you more excited about the indie games coming out here soon? Or are you more excited for AAA titles? Where do you stand?
Indie.
Write us at teabag@tiltcast.com.
Do it.
Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tiltcast, and we ask our question there, as well as twitter.com/tiltcast.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
As well as the website at Tiltcast. Just find Tiltcast.
And I have upcoming games.
Oh, yeah.
Rambo the video game came out this week.
Skip over the bullshit.
I know, I am. But Rambo the video game came out this week to a soft release. Right. Anyway, tonight, the 25th, the 25th, we have Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2 coming out on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, PC, and PlayStation Network. Anyway, Thief is coming out as well on PC, PS4, Xbox One, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 3 Network. Let's see here. Just because John will yell at us. Tales of Symphonia Chronicles is coming out on the PS3 and PS3 Network.
Shadowrun, Dragonfall.
Yeah, you got those. Let's take a look.
It's a good game.
Let's take a look here. We have Resident Evil 4 Ultimate HD Edition coming out on the 27th on PC. That'll be on Steam. We have the Stick of Truth South Park coming out on March 4th on the PlayStation 3, 360, and PC.
I'm getting it with the Cartman doll.
Yes. You do that. And then finally, just for the middle of March, just to cover the next 2 weeks, so the middle of March, we have Dark Souls 2 coming out on 360 and PlayStation 3 on March 11th, and when that's the same day that Titanfall comes out on Xbox One, PC, and 360. So... man, it's going to be
busy.
And
later that month.
Later that month, we do have Final Fantasy X and X-2 HD Remake coming out on PlayStation 3, and I will be buying that and letting you guys know how it is. And the one you're talking about is Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, because there's more than one. It's coming out on the 18th of March for PlayStation 3, 360, PS4, and Xbox One. So
there's the Diablo expansion coming out after that.
Yeah, there's that, and Final Fantasy X HD Remaster will also be out on the Vita on March 18th.
Yay, Vita!
Which one you want? Infamous?
Yeah.
Yeah, Infamous Second Son is going to be out on PS4.
How many games is that in March?
So, this is the limited edition.
Mm.
And, so we'll end with that.
It's a good thing that Steak and BJ Day is in March.
No, that is true.
That is true.
Yes. So, and with all of that, we're going to go ahead and run down through our shout-outs. We've got For the Love of Gaming over at 4logpc.com. We got the bmfcast.com, that's the Bad Movie Fiends. We've got the Carousel at thecarouselpodcast.com. We also have our friends over at the elseworldspodcast.com. We have noquarters.net. And we also have TBGP, the video game podcast. They do bad things. They do good things.
Combo breaker.
Anyways. So, definitely go and check that stuff out, all of our friends, and make sure to visit us at tiltcast.com. Where else? Facebook? You already mentioned
it.
Yep.
So, I think we're done.
Stitcher and iTunes, search that name, Tiltcast.
Mm-hmm.
With that, we're ending the show.
Yep.
We are.
Bye-bye.
It's done.
Later.
No more.
We can leave.